Not the Footy Show.
Show?
Okay, everybody, this is Wads from Not the Footy Show. Welcome to episode number 34. Nick is on the line with me. Nick, how are we?
Not too bad, sir. How's it going?
Yes, not too bad. Look at that. It's just some witty repartee going between us right there.
You know it is.
Round 22 is done, my friend, and we've lost one team from mathematical contention for the top eight. That's the Bulldogs.
Take that, Dougies.
Dougies.
Not the Footy Show.
So we're down to 12 teams into 8 spots for the finals. Nick, your boys, the Dragons, they are 4 points clear on top of the table. I think you've got the minor premiership sewn up.
You'd want to hope so.
That differential of +191 might signify that. Yeah, so the current top eight is Dragons, Panthers, Roosters, Titans, Tigers, Seagulls, Broncos and Warriors, all on 26 points with the Rabbitohs, Knights, Raiders and Eels, the only other teams capable of getting in there.
Mathematically.
And we've got also Rans now, Bulldogs, Cowboys, Sharks and, of course, the Melbourne Storm, which leads us to the first big debate of today.
Ooh.
Greg Inglis is a Brisbane Bronco.
Bang, that is huge.
What do you think about that?
I'm loving it. Not necessarily that he's gone to Brisbane, but the fact that one of the biggest players from the Storm has gone from the Storm. Disassemble that roster. That's the plan, and it looks like step one has been taken.
Well, okay. Well, I guess what I'll ask you then is that enough? Getting rid of Greg Inglis, is that enough to disassemble the roster?
Oof. Well, it'd have to be a matter of salary cap addition, and as you say, and until we know how much these boys are getting paid, I don't know if I can ever correctly, with any justification, really say, is it enough? I suppose that's one of their big five or six Gonskis. Whether or not they're still over the cap technically, looking at how much they've been paying these guys, would be a question only they could answer, really.
Well, that's true. I guess the thing that I ask you and the rest of the obviously people out there on listening to the show, at what point do we say that they've paid their dues, they've paid back what they allegedly cheated, etc. At what point do we start saying the Melbourne Storm are a legitimate team? Because I personally thought that they should be able to have kept all four of those superstar players. For the one simple fact is they developed those guys.
Mm.
Get rid of the Brett Whites, get rid of the Quinns, get rid of whoever else who they all signed and whatever. Because the thing that really strikes me about this situation is that here we have a situation where the Storm have basically made Greg Inglis into the player he is. They've made the player that Cameron Smith is, made the guy that Cooper Cronk and Billy Slater are, yet they're sending him off to the Brisbane Broncos, who I think I did a stat today where they've had like a lot of their best players are signed from other clubs. You can actually say that they produce a lot of great players, and they probably do, and I'm not saying that the Broncos don't do a lot of good junior development, but I was going through their squad today, and I think, I'll give you a couple of players. Israel Folau was signed from the Melbourne Storm. Peter Wallace was signed from the Penrith Panthers. Shane Tronk was signed from the Cowboys. Who else have we got there? Give me another name. Come on, you've done your research.
Oh, yes, I have. There's got to be a couple of them.
Justin Hodges basically made his name as a player with the Sydney Roosters.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, who else you got? Come on. Think of that team.
The biggest players, and I'm thinking Lockie has got to be homegrown.
Well, he's homegrown, yeah. Come on, give me some other guys.
What about all their young blokes? Are they all coming through the ranks?
Well, that's they've signed Ben Hannon again. Ben Hannon's another guy who started off his NRL career with the Roosters, then went to the Broncos and went down to the Bulldogs, and they've signed him as well. I guess my thing is, I'm all for teams being able to sign players, but I'm kind of frustrated that the Storm have had to get rid of a guy they've developed, and then he's just going to another club that signs a lot of players from other clubs. I mean, we talk about this whole develop your own and hold on to your own and get exemptions and all that kind of stuff, and yet here's a club, Broncos, who everybody's probably going to say, oh, they're over the cap now, but the thing that we've had this discussion before, and I particularly think it's a great cause for this whole public salary cap idea, unless we know what all the players are getting, you can't say that Brisbane are over the cap just because they've signed Greg Inglis and Ben Hannett in place of Israel Folau. You just can't say it because we don't see what they're earning.
You just don't know. Maybe they're taking cuts. Who knows?
Well, that's the thing. So, I mean, my frustration, I guess, in tied into the Broncos signing him is they've got a history in the recent time of signing a lot of players from other clubs. And here they get a chance to sign Greg Inglis from another club that I would have thought should have been able to keep him in some respects. But the way that the NRL's formulated, the way the salary cap's policed, we're just not going to get a situation where we see what players are on. And thus, we're going to have these situations where there's rumour and innuendo in the same way with Mark Gasnier joining the Roosters. The Dragons.
Anything we can do is trust that the NRL's got it under control. And clearly, they don't.
Well, that's it, mate. How many years after the Storm started cheating the cap did we find out they were?
That's it. Makes you wonder.
another footy show.
So obviously the big one is Gregor Inglis off to the Broncos. I'll be talking with Dave on Not the Footy Show a little bit later, and we plug it into this segment right now, and his views on it all. As you know, he's a Dragons fan with a lot of passion about how his team has assembled their roster.
No, if he's a Dragons fan, I never would have guessed.
Oh, it's shocking, isn't it? But I'm sure he'll be all for Gregor Inglis leaving the Storm. Interestingly enough, there was a couple other players, a former Storm player and a current Storm player who also signed elsewhere. Brett White is off to the Raiders.
Oh, that hurts you, man. Has it actually been made official
It's yet? Been made official after the Sydney Morning Herald toying with me for about the last 6 weeks, saying, oh, he's all but signed, he's all but signed. And every week the paper would come up. You know, he's almost signed, he's all but signed. It was just like that. And I get emails and everything from people who knew I just hated Brett White. And everybody, I don't hate Brett White for Brett White. He just doesn't do anything on the field. I still can't understand how he's ever played representative football. And I don't know. If there's anything Canberra need, it's a front rower, isn't it?
Yeah. Looking at that roster, it's got to be one of the better packs going around.
But it's not like we need him, so I don't understand that addition. I think it's all because he came from Cooma and wanted to go play near where he came from. And good luck to him in that regard. But, you know, the club's spending, what, probably $300,000 to sign him. That $300,000 that we really could have spent on a halfback, possibly. I don't know. Just an idea.
Maybe.
So he's off to the Canberra Raiders from the Melbourne Storm. And Jeremy Smith, who's an ex-Melbourne player, he's left the Dragons because of the Mark Gasnier signing, and so has Neville Costigan. But Jeremy Smith's off to the Sharks next year.
Ooh, interesting.
Which, again, is right up the same alley as the Brett White signing. What is the one position that the Sharks don't need a player at?
That's probably true. They are pretty tough up front.
They've got hard-working back row as it is, and they're going to sign Jeremy Smith. I mean, if you're a Sharks fan, you're going, can we have a try-scoring option out wide, please?
That would be nice.
Because they've got one at the moment.
And it isn't Cavell.
And his name's Nathan Gardner. Oh, it boggles the mind, really. I mean, I understand why you'd sign a guy like him, because I think he's a good footballer, he's a bit of a winner and stuff, but, you know, that forward pack really can't improve a whole lot more than what it is.
That's true.
And their main issue is out wide.
Man, but,
you know, that's what they want to do. Obviously, so they're the two other big signings of today. But the question, I guess, coming out of this whole Melbourne thing, they've let Brett White go, but they couldn't find a taker for Anthony Quinn. And apparently Anthony Quinn's contract is pushing $250,000 or something. Again, it'd be nice to know actually what he was on. This is all, like, rumours, apparently. But effectively, the whole reason they let Inglis go is because they could get another club to pay most of his contract. And if you want to find out what Inglis's contract's got, like how much it is and how they're affording it, pick up a copy of the Sydney Morning Herald today or check it out on the website. Got a really quite concise rundown on how he's actually being paid. Which, as I said to you on the phone earlier, Nick, why can't we find that out about every player?
It would be nice, but I just cannot ever see it happening.
Yeah.
I really can't see it. There's just too many privacy issues, I think.
No, as I said, I've shown the example. It happens overseas in almost every sport, so I don't understand why the players... what have they got to hide, I guess, is really the question. And that's the thing. The worst thing, I guess, from a public salary cap point of view is that the onus comes back on the players to not rot the cap.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, all this hiding around, saying, "Oh, we didn't know. We don't talk about it. It's all unspoken." Come on.
I mean, it's allegedly on our part, isn't it? Like, we're not saying that the players necessarily knew, but if you're going to try and bust the cap and cheat the cap, it's a lot harder when everybody knows what you're supposedly getting.
Sure is. It's going to make it way harder.
But yeah, so obviously Inglis, he's off to the Broncos. Brett White's off to Canberra. Jeremy Smith off to the Sharks.
Not the footy show. Show.
Nick, as you would have seen on wnicholson.blogspot.com, an article went up on Monday. I basically simmed the next 4 weeks of the NRL.
Oh, it's looking good.
I've come up with what I think it will be the top eight at the end of round 26. The question I want to pose to you before we go look at that article is, who is your top eight at the end of the year?
Oh, well, who would I like to be in the top eight?
Who do you think will be there?
Oh, who will be there? Well, it's going to be pretty hard to change that... The main top teams there, they're pretty solid. The only team that I can really see giving a good shake getting in there that's out at the moment, so to change the eight.
Yep.
I think it's got to be South. I really don't like the Eels unless Haynes scores a hattie every week. I just can't see any other attacking options. Newcastle, well, they've had a bit of a purple patch, but I don't think they've got the consistency, and we know Canberra certainly don't.
Exactly.
The only one I can see going up is South Sydney for those reasons, and I think the team that would most likely drop out would be the Warriors. They seem to have peaked a little bit early and seem to be struggling at the moment.
Well, here's a have a looking at the Rabbitohs' next four games. You tell me the games you think they'll win, okay?
Well, this is going to be tough.
Currently, they're on 24 points,
yep.
2 points out of the eight. But the differential is quite good, so if they ever draw level with any other team pretty much in the eight, they'll probably go past them.
That's it.
They play Melbourne in Melbourne this weekend.
Ooh.
Who have you got?
Well, seriously, the way Melbourne are playing, that's almost 50-50.
Well, who do you pick? Come on.
I know Melbourne will be the favourites.
Come on, who do you pick?
Well, Melbourne have stung me the last few weeks. I'm pretty tempted to take South.
Okay, so you're giving South 2 points in this game?
I don't know if I'll give him 2 points.
Well, that's the question. Just man up and make a decision, sir.
Big Burgess back?
Yes, Burgess is back.
I suppose Davey Taylor's not?
No, he's not.
Is he going to be back at any point?
Maybe for the last two rounds.
Oh, see, it's too little too late. John Sutton has stepped it up somewhat.
He's out, man. He's done for the year.
He's what?
Done for the year.
Oh, is he injured as well?
Yep.
There you go. Fantastic. Well, I have to say Melbourne wins that game.
Okay, so Melbourne win that game, then the Rabbitohs travel to CUA Stadium to play the Panthers the next week.
That's tough.
Who's going to win that?
I'm going to have to say Panthers.
Okay. Then in round 25, the Rabbitohs host the Eels.
Ooh, yeah, I reckon they can take that one.
Okay, so you give them the 26 points. In the last round, they play the Dragons at Win Jubilee.
Bang. Oh, well, the Dragons are a pushover, so I'll give that one to South too.
Okay, South get 2 points from you then. That makes them on 26 points. So then that means that if Manly, the Broncos, or the Warriors win one game from the next four, Souths are gone, and they can't make it.
That's pretty tough.
Okay, the other teams out of the eight, you've got
That would have to be arguably the hardest run home.
Oh, it is, and that's why I can't see them making it. The Knights, who are on 22 points, so that's 4 points out of the eight and a terrible differential.
Yep.
They've got the Warriors in New Zealand, and they've got the Broncos at Newcastle. Exactly. They've got the Dragons in Newcastle, and they've got the Storm in Melbourne. And that last Melbourne game will be the farewell to all the players from the Melbourne Storm. So, I'm sorry, I can't give them that game. I can't give them the Dragons game. Although, it's conceivable that some of the Dragons players might get rested that week.
Yep.
But they have to play the Broncos at Energy Australia and they have to play the Warriors in Auckland. I think they might win one of those two games.
Mm.
But I don't think they win effectively what they have to do, and that's all four games to guarantee themselves a spot.
Oh, they'll be struggling.
I think they lose against the Warriors. I think they beat the Broncos. I think they lose to the Dragons. They lose to the Storm.
So we're saying even if they lose two out of four, they're done.
Oh, they have to win three or four. So
yeah,
you got to get to 28 points to put yourself in the running. If you get to 30, you should make it. But if you get to 28, you get yourself in the running. Moving on to the Raiders, who beat Penrith the other night. That was an impressive win. They're on 22 points. Differential's minus 70, so they've got to get to 30 points. So in other words, they've got to win all four games. They've got the Bulldogs at ANZ this weekend. They've got the Dragons in Canberra.
It's a home.
And they've beaten the Dragons for the last 20 games in a row. So
they love smashing
this. Mind you, I think this is where the streak ends. They've got the Cowboys in Canberra. That's winnable. And they come into the last round against the Broncos at Suncorp.
Come down to that. If they
beat the Bulldogs this weekend, they really set themselves up, because even though they probably have to beat the Dragons in Canberra, they have some self-belief that they could do it. Then they get to play the Cowboys and Broncos to end the year. At the end of the day, though, I just can't see them winning all four games. I think they'll lose three or four. I think the Bulldogs are good this weekend. I think the Dragons will beat them. We'll beat the Cowboys, but we won't beat the Broncos to end the season. So Canberra, put a red marker through them, they're done.
Struggling.
Then we come to the team that I think is the biggest threat outside the eight at the moment, and that's the Parramatta Eels, who are on 22 points as well, a minus 70 differential, but here is their draw, and this is why it's important.
Hit me with it.
They play the Broncos this weekend. At Suncorp. I reckon they can win that.
Oof, are they at home?
No, they're at Suncorp, but Darren Lockyer is 50-50 whether he'll play.
Oh, yeah, I still think Brisbane's just too strong.
Yeah, without Lockyer, though, that's where I can't endorse that line of thinking. They've got the West Tigers at Parramatta Stadium in round 24.
Oh, I said West Tigers, man. I've no faith in those guys.
Okay, well, I do. And then round 25, as we said before, they've got the Rabbitohs.
Oh, yeah.
Which they have to win. And then in round 26, they play the Warriors at Parramatta Stadium.
Oh, can it come down to that? That'd be so awesome.
So there's two key games. There's really two really, really key games there for the Eels. If they beat the Broncos and they beat the Warriors, they then probably have to win the other two games as well. But if they beat the Broncos and Warriors, they basically reduce the chances of those two sides building up a lead big enough. That means that no matter how good the Eels go, they can't make the finals.
Mm.
So I would say that they can win three or four of that. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that I think they're going to make the eight, but of all the teams that are outside the eight, that would put them, the way that I've got the draw working out,
mm-hmm.
And we've already discussed, like, everybody, you can check out the article on wnicholson.blogspot.com. It's got all the games, especially for the top eight teams. At this stage, I think that the Dragons will finish first. I think they'll win all four games.
Yep.
I think that the Panthers, who are currently second, I think they'll win three or four. I've only got them losing to the Tigers this weekend because that's games at Campbelltown. Then the Roosters, I think, will win all four games and conceivably could finish second if the Panthers slip up. Actually, I got the Panthers. I got the Roosters finishing second if they win all four games. The Roosters have got Sharks, Titans, Seagulls, and Cowboys, and the Seagulls games at the SFS, and so is the Titans game. So you lean home team in that regard. Titans, who are in fourth place at the moment, have got the Cowboys, Roosters, Sharks, and Tigers. You would imagine they'll win at least two of those games against the Cowboys and the Sharks. Now, they may drop the other two games, but it may actually end up costing them a top four spot. Then we've got the Tigers, who I know you don't rate them anymore, but I'm still sticking with it. When it comes to this time of year, they have the most potential of any team in the comp, as far as I'm concerned.
No, you didn't just say that, man. Come on.
I did. I've got them winning all four games, and I've got them finishing in the top four.
Not even the Roosters.
No, the Roosters will finish ahead of them.
No, I mean, if you're saying the team that has the most potential to win a game, it's got to be the Roosters.
We've seen the best of the Roosters, which is great. We haven't seen the best of the Tigers yet.
Yeah, I just don't know if they've got it anymore.
We've got the Seagulls, who are a team that, you know, the draw they've got is actually quite difficult. They've got Dragons, then they've got Warriors at home, then they've got the Roosters away, then they've got the Bulldogs at home. They may have to win that last game to guarantee themselves a spot in the top eight.
Oof, geez, that's tight.
Broncos have got Parramatta at home, then they've got the Knights away. Now, both those games could be without Darren Lockyer, although there is some rumours today that he might actually play this weekend. I think he realises that if
he'll suck it up.
Well, think about it. If the Broncos beat the Eels this weekend, it basically finishes off the Eels from the top eight.
Bang.
So if he plays this game and then takes the next 2 weeks off after that, not only has he secured the Broncos a spot in the eight, but he basically gets rid of one of their opposition. Then the last 2 weeks, the Broncos have got the Warriors in Auckland and Canberra at Suncorp. I give them at least three wins, probably at least two wins, possibly three. Depends if they can win a game without Lockyer if he doesn't play the next 2 weeks. But they'll make it as well. And that leaves the Warriors as the only team I think has a chance of missing out, basically because they've got games against teams that are all desperate to win. The Warriors have to host the Knights this weekend.
Oh, that's a big one.
Now, if the Warriors win, they basically end the Knights as a threat. So enough incentive there, you would imagine. Now, if they win that game, they get 28 points. Their differential's only minus two, so they only have to win one of their last three games, but they have to play the Manly Seagulls at Brookvale.
Oof.
They've got to play the Broncos at home.
Oh.
So Broncos at Mount Smart, sorry. And then they've got to play the Eels at Parramatta. So,
jeez.
You know, I give them one win from four, but I still think it'll be enough because of the differential aspect. So I went through all of those four games every team's got left. And I did it a very simple way. If you won the game, you scored 24 points. And if you lost the game, you scored 18 points. So each game, your differential bonus was plus six.
Yep.
Okay, so just an easy way of doing it. So the premiership table that I have after 26 rounds is this. Dragons first on 40 points. Roosters second on 36. Tigers third on 36. Panthers fourth on 34. There's my top four. Then we've got Titans on 32. Seagulls on 30. Broncos on 30. And then we've got the Warriors on 28.
Nice.
So that's my top eight. The Eels also finish on 28, but their differential is 40 worse than the Warriors. So that would mean they'd miss out, even if they beat the Warriors in the last round.
Mm.
Then we've got the Rabbitohs on 24, the Knights on 24, the Raiders on 24. Then we've got the Bulldogs on 22, Cowboys on 14. Sharks get the unofficial wooden spoon with 14 points, finishing 15th.
Bang.
And of course, the Melbourne Storm on zero, even though they win 14 games on the season.
Not the footy show. Show!
So that would leave us with the following finals in week one. See if you like these, Nick.
Oh, I'm ready.
Dragons versus Warriors would be the first game.
I like that.
So I think I like your guys for sure. Roosters and Broncos, 2v7.
Oh, that's a hot one.
I like that one as well. Then you got Tigers versus Seagulls.
Oh, yeah.
As 3v6. And Panthers versus Titans as 4v5. Wow. There was something in the Telegraph the other day, and as you know, I'm a huge fan of the Telegraph.
Oh, yeah.
They were suggesting that there'd be a double header in the finals on the Saturday if the Roosters finished. Well, okay, I'll put this to you. If you're going to have a game at the SCG, you don't have it at night.
No, that's true.
So I think the whole idea of what they were planning on doing, apparently, is having the 6:30 game at the SFS. and then the 8:30 game at the SCG.
Ooh.
Now, it's just me thinking out loud, but logistically, it's got to be a tough thing, because how many people would you have trying to swap the grounds, okay,
yeah,
for a start? And then what about all the people that can't make the 6:30 game or can't afford to go to both games?
Yeah.
How do they get car parking spots?
So does that mean you would have to... Is it a one ticket gets you in
the... I think you got to pay for both. Because there's no way the clubs would split the diff.
Oh, that's terrible.
So it doesn't make sense. If you're going to have a game at the SCG, you have it on the Sunday.
It's final football. Why wouldn't they split the diff? They'll get a capacity if they put them both in the same ground. Surely.
Well, that's the thing. If they put them both at the same ground, do you play a back-to-back... I think if you're playing at the same ground, you play back-to-back at... the SFS. I think you got to do that, because I think it's the best ground for finals football, personally.
Yeah.
I've been to a bunch of finals there, and it's just a great atmosphere when it gets going on the old SFS, and great place to sit and watch football.
It's only a theoretical option, though, isn't it? Doesn't it have to be these teams all end up playing against each other? It's a bit of a
The Dragons should finish first. See, if there's any team that should be taking the game to the SCG, it's the Dragons, in my opinion, because they'll have the 4 o'clock game on the Sunday. So that's the only game that I can see as a conceivable option, because the Panthers are 4, Titans are 5, they'll play the Friday night game. So there's no chance of that ever being put into the SFS or anything. That'll be played at Penrith Stadium, you'd imagine. Tigers, apparently I'm hearing stuff that they want to play at Leichhardt, which I am all for.
Oh, they'll all play at their home ground, come on.
No, they get pressure, man. Like, see, the problem is the Tigers have got deals with the SFS to take games, so... I would imagine that they'll be forced in some respects by the NRL, even though they tried to do it with the Dragons. But if I'm the Tigers, I play that game at Leichhardt Oval for sure and certain, especially once it gets Manly. You want all the advantage you can get.
There'll be a lot of Manly hate going around.
And Roosters Broncos should be the SFS. So as good as an idea it is taking a game to the SCG, I think there's only one game, there's one time slot that the SCG should have, and that's that Sunday afternoon game. Because, as we saw on the weekend, and I got a lot of messages on Twitter about what it was like being at the ground, I think the biggest thing that they said is that the atmosphere was just perfect because of the time it was played.
Yep.
And I think with any sporting event, yes, it's great on TV to have a game at night, but when you're at a sporting event, it is so much better to be there in the afternoon.
Not the footy show. Joke.
So, Nick, that's my top eight. Can you argue with it?
Pretty tough. I'm looking at the table, and basically, if any of the teams in the top eight, well, we'll assume they can all win one. I think that's probably fair to say, out of four.
Yep.
If they win that second one, it's all over for the teams chasing them.
It is. If any of the Seagulls, Broncos, Warriors get to 30 points, season over. Yeah, exactly.
If they're over the line, I think the majority of them are going to be able to get there.
Not the footy show. Joke!
Moving on to the round 22 review, Friday night, Titans 34, Eels 12. This one hurt me, Nick.
Didn't hurt me, big boy. Oh, I loved it. Can you believe they were up 12-0, though, and then just, what happened?
I can certainly believe it, because I was watching going, how good am I picking the Eels? This feels good. This feels very, very good.
And so they were just going to absolutely roll over. I just have no faith in the Eels.
34-0 in the second half to the Titans.
Absolute drumming.
Titans win 3 straight. Eels, that's 2 in a row they've lost. Wow, as I said, the first half was all Parramatta and they just controlled possession. They had good field position. And the second half, the opposite happened. Literally, Parramatta had no field position whatsoever. Jared Hayne couldn't get into the game. And the Titans... literally, the team just had no field position whatsoever. It's rare you see a team not get like any chances in the other opposition half. I can't even remember one decent chance Parramatta had in the second half.
Was that not due to the Gold Coast defence there?
If you make errors, if the Eels make errors and all that kind of stuff, it just hands the ball over and the Titans were good enough to put them to the sword.
Certainly are. They're a team that we have seen time and time again that will just fight until the end.
Yeah.
Never out of a game.
Matt Rogers is playing inspired football at 5'8".
Oh, he's superb.
And I think Scott Prince had his best game for a while as well. And as we know, if he's not playing well, the Titans aren't going to do anything. So
they struggle.
But Matt Rogers at 5'8", he's playing that well. I think Greg Bird's going to have to come off the bench this weekend.
And Bernie Thompson with a double.
Yeah, I dropped him into my fantasy team. Shush. So Parramatta, they lost. And Titans got a big differential boost as well, 34-12 up.
Love that.
Not the footy show. Joke!
The Friday night game saw the Cowboys host the Broncos, and the Cowboys lost Jonathan Thurston after like 15 minutes.
Nah, he's always going to sting.
Yeah, and that might sound a little bit harsh, but I thought they actually played all right when he was off the field.
Oh, they did. 24-8 half-time, and I'm just going, this is raised the bat, Brisbane.
Yeah.
When are they going to get to 50? And they pegged them back. I honestly don't know how they did it.
The commentators are right when they're watching when you're watching the game. Even though they considered 34 points the old Cowboys, it was only a 10-minute period before half-time that really hurt them in that game.
Certainly did hurt them.
Though. And they manned up, basically, and they gave the Broncos a bit of a scare towards the end. They scored 2 tries in the last 5 minutes. I mean, the game was never in doubt. I mean, you always knew the Broncos were going to win it, pretty much. But the Cowboys showed some things that you just went, you know, they wanted the game, and playing in front of their fans on a Friday night, there would be a bit of, I don't know, I think Neil Henry might be too disappointed with that performance.
No, definitely not. There's a lot of positives to take out of that. Pity it's a little late in the season, but I suppose it's at least means they got someone to play for and looks good for next year.
Exactly. Broncos, Matt Gillette, 2 tries. Fallout, 2 tries. Lockyer.
He really is the best.
Keep going. But he's going not too bad at all. And obviously, 34-26 for the Broncos. Big win for the Broncos because it puts them, as we said before, right in contention for grabbing that top 8 spot.
Grab it, boys. Grab it.
Not the footy show. Show.
Seagulls, 26. Storm, 6. Brookvale Oval, about 10 people turned up.
Wham, bam, what the heck just happened?
But Manly were good, man. Manly just, they wanted the game. The Melbourne Storm had that game on the road that I warned you about. I said, on the road, I've been stung by them a couple of times already in the last couple of months. I just couldn't pick Melbourne on the road, even though there was a lot of support for Melbourne. They just didn't have it, man. A lot of their best players look very tired, like they want the season to finish. Craig Bellamy admitted as much during this week. He said the players are just counting down the end of the year, and the Seagulls, who lost a few players to injury, lost Josh Perry early on to, ironically enough, a broken leg when he was trying to rip Adam Blair's hair out of its socket. Matt Ballon had a concussion, and Anthony Watmore copped a cork, but Jamie Lyon did about 3 things in this game. That's all he did.
Yeah, but they were all pretty good.
I reckon he and Luke Bird are the kings of doing nothing for the entire game, but when they do something, it makes a difference.
Bam. I really don't like him, and it's probably because he plays for Manly. If he played for any other team, I'd probably love him.
Well, he used to play for Parramatta, so it's no difference to me.
Yeah, that's true. Manny was good in this game.
Tony Williams, thoughts?
Oh, biggest cat since the death of massive cats. Massive teeth. Because that's pretty much what he looks like.
He's a monster. We said
it hurt you, but oh my gosh, can he be? He just runs at people so soft, like, oh, I'm going to break a nail.
Did you see him knock on over the line?
Like, oh, that was so weak, wasn't it?
If he just tried to steamroll his opposition, he would have easily scored.
That's it. He's got to be prepared to take the hit then.
Oh, but the guy is monstrous, and he still can't get it done. Then Grimace Mad-Eye.
Oh,
I heard again. It was
Dr. Mad-Eye.
There was a bit of a class.
Dr. What-Meow.
Dr. What-Meow.
Pick him up and go, you're right, bud.
Stuart Raper, who, I must admit, his work on Fox Sports isn't exactly
fantastic.
Well, I won't say that. You can say it.
Fantastic.
But he's not the most engaging personality on the box.
Quite.
I will say that. Had the best call I think I've ever heard him make on Fox Sports. He was doing the halftime report. And he goes, Steve Mad-Eye's hurt, and I'm pretty sure everything's injured.
Oh.
So, yeah. Basically, he didn't know what was wrong with him. He just seemed like he was hurt, so he just went, it's got to be everything on his body.
Yeah.
And that's generally the way with the old Grimace, is he just seems to get up after every tackle and, oh, I can't move. Oh.
It's so tough. I'm such a man, but I'll keep playing. I'll keep playing because I'm so tough.
Exactly. Manly, they win by 20 points, and as we said before, probably secure themselves a top 8 berth.
Melbourne just never really looked like scoring points in this game.
Precisely.
Not the footy show. Show!
Speaking of not scoring points, the Sharks 10, Warriors 37. Absolute training run for the Warriors.
Oh, come on, you're not going to pay my reference to Shebangabang?
What about Shebangabang?
You know, that place that we're going to call it Shebangabang. You haven't seen that ad? It's fantastic.
I have. I just wanted to explain it.
Hey, man.
Warriors 37. Bill Tupu gets a hat-trick. James Maloney continues his stellar season.
Yeah, that guy can play.
With a try, 6 from 7 goals and a field goal. The Sharks have no talent. They've got no strike power. And on this game, which is like it against the Seagulls a few weeks ago, the effort just didn't seem like it was there as much as usual. And I think this is something that's coming out about the old Sharks, is they keep losing, yet they keep picking the same team every week. What's going on there? I think some of the old Sharkies fans are getting a bit frustrated with this, because there's a lot of guys in that, particularly that back line, who are staying in first grade, and they're not really going to be doing much next year.
You've got to have some competitions for spots. You've got to make guys sweat, at least think that they're not going to have that position, you know, set. Otherwise, they're not going to turn up and put the performance on the park. They need to be thinking there's another guy over their shoulder breathing down their neck every week.
Exactly.
Come on!
So Warriors, as we said, like the Broncos and the Seagulls ahead of them, they've just made that position where they win one from the next four, and they should be home.
That's it.
Not the footy show. Show!
The next game, Rabbitohs 34, Tigers 30, golden point extra time.
See, these Tigers are every...
They had 30 points after 49
really
minutes.
Did they have to do this?
What do you mean?
Did they?
It was because you had them on special fried rice, that's why you're angry.
Yeah, I had them on a silver platter, that's what I had them on. Man, unbelievable that they threw this one away, because seriously, I don't think it deserved to be a draw at the end of full time. West Tigers had every opportunity to kill this game off. And every time they had that opportunity, South would score. And you're going, come on, guys. All you have to do is one more try at any of those points. They just couldn't get it. They were terrible. They were really terrible. I can't see how they're your favourite team, man. I don't see it. I'm not seeing it.
I'm sticking with it, man. They'll win the title.
Why? Convert me.
I have. I've explained to you a million times they've got more talent in that side in terms of attacking football than any other team in the comp.
But I'm not seeing it.
And I think, I mean, yeah, you can argue that they led in 34 points, but the Roosters led in 34 points for like three straight weeks. You know, it's not like you can, as we've had this discussion last 2 weeks, if you had the choice between an attack working come the finals time or a defence working comes finals time. I'm taking attack any day of the week.
I don't know if their attack is working that well there. I know they scored 30 points, but they were hardly impressive for mine.
Well, I mean, I'm not a huge Robert Louis fan, admittedly.
Yes.
But Robbie Farrow's playing well. Benji Marshall actually didn't play badly in this game at all. Ran the ball a lot, and I think that's his game.
Certainly.
Look, I'm maintaining it. I think they've got enough talent in this side that come finals time, and given the lack of quality across the competition, in my opinion, they can beat any team on their day. You can argue that, yeah, they've got to win four in a row or whatever it is come finals time, but you're asking me the simple question, who do you think will win the comp? I've looked at all the sides, I've watched all the sides, and I still maintain that on their day, the Tigers' style of football, when it works, and that's what you have to assume when you get to finals football, is better than any other side, so I'm picking them for the title.
Oh, bang.
So
he can't be overthrown on this one, guys.
No, I can't. I tried. You
tried.
And a lot of people obviously forget that the Tigers have won like 8 of 11. Yeah, they're not, and they keep saying that they're struggling, so I don't understand that. South Sydney, they actually played pretty well in the last 20 minutes of this match. Dylan Farrell had a decent debut. Three tries on debut is also always pretty decent.
Yeah, it's all right. You know, you take it.
Well, heaps of missed field goals, half chances and whatever, and then Reece Wesser ran through the tie defence at the end through a Joe Montana touchdown pass out wide to Sean Corrigan. That ball went so forward, it's ridiculous, but...
But we love it.
I didn't call it. It was one of those hit-the-moment kind of things. But that actually wasn't the call that bugged me in this match.
Yeah?
Jared Maxwell is apparently one of our best referees.
Yes.
He... Oh, I could unleash here.
Go for it.
Robbie Farrow came out in the press on the Sunday after the game, and he basically said that, look, I'm disappointed with the result. We obviously didn't play very well, and, you know, we lost the game. He said, like, I can accept that. He said, what I can't accept... effectively, is that when a game is being there to be decided in the last 3 seconds of the match, where there is a clear infringement for offside by South Sydney when Robbie Farrow runs out of dummy half, that the referee puts his whistle away and doesn't call a penalty.
Oh, man.
Now, what he did say was, he says, I don't think he's got the kahunas to make the call, basically, is what he said.
That's it.
And I think it's spot on the money, because his answer, when it happened, Robbie Farrow, it's about halfway, so it's a kickable penalty goal. Tigers got the ball. Both markers are pretty much offside. They're not square. One's not getting back onside. Robbie Farrow sees that as a chance because he knows they're too far out from a field goal, and he tried to spot the marker and get him offside. The marker interfered with his pass back inside to Robert Louis, and I think the ball was knocked on from memory.
Yep.
Okay? So the guy's clearly offside, and he's interfered with the play. Maxwell's ignored that completely and called full-time. Robbie Farrow has blown up. He's gone, what happened then? And look, why didn't you call it? And the words out of Jared Maxwell's mouth was, I didn't see it.
That's so poor.
It's the last 5 seconds of the game, and your senior referee says he didn't see it. Where is he looking?
Yeah, it's. I know it is a beautiful sight there, but oh man, you got to wonder, really, don't you? I think like, Robbie's spot on.
Because
Kahanas, man.
He sees all the calls in the 23rd minute when it doesn't matter.
Oh That was a crucial call too.
And that, and like, I mean, I'm not saying that Benji Marshall makes the kick. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that South necessarily deserved to lose.
It'd be a bit thing, man, to say he makes that kick.
But the frustrating thing is, we hear referees impose themselves and say, "Oh, I saw there was a hand on the football," and all this kind of stuff. This was the last play of the game. It's clear as day that there's been interference from the offside marker, and he doesn't call a penalty. And the whole through the whole extra time as well, there was one penalty, I think, in the whole of extra time was when Bo Ryan did the old strip, which was blatant. But the fact is, you've got to be able to make... The thing that we ask from referees is either you let the game flow from the get-go and just let the players work it out, which is what Bill Harrigan was famous for, or you have to be consistent in your calling, because that was the thing that I think frustrated Robbie Farrow the most, is Maxwell's whistle would go all the time during the rest of the 78 minutes or 74 minutes or whatever leading up to that point. And then when the game is there to be decided, he decides, "Oh, I'm not going to make the call because he's scared or whatever." It's just pathetic.
It wasn't great.
Not the footy show. Show!
Knights, Bulldogs. Knights 30, Bulldogs 6. This is the end of the Bulldogs season, and quite rightly, just... I just can't see the Bulldogs playing any kind of football that resembles what they did last year.
Well, no, not really. I was backing them this week, and wow, they just didn't even turn up, did they? And this whole thing of having Ben Barber come off the field, I mean, what's it go? The guy comes back on and scores a try. It's just, it happens time and time again, yet they seem to persist. I can't understand.
Ben Roberts is no doubt their best 5'8", in the sense of what style they want to play. But the problem that the Bulldogs have got is that their style's changed from last year. They use their forwards way too much. Michael Ennis and Brett Camorley seem to be confused of what their last tackle play is. And basically, the reason that Ben Barber got pulled off the field was they never gave him the ball.
Yep.
And the whole idea, I would have thought, is if your season's on the line, you throw everything you can at this game. Because if you can knock off the Knights, get a differential boost, you're still half a chance. But they were woeful. They got the worst game plan in the league, and that includes Canberra's split halves situation.
Oh, that's taking the cake.
Newcastle, they were impressive. They did everything right, and they end up winning the game by 24 points, which is an important differential boost for them. But they weren't super impressive to the point where you go, "Oh, Knights are going to make a massive run at the finals."
I mean, Knights for the premiership, man.
Yeah, that was a good email. Nice SMS from you, by the way.
Yeah, thanks.
But Canterbury, they just simply, as stupid as it's going to sound, I think they were terrible, but I still think they'll beat Canberra next week. So, you know, it's one of those things. I just think Canterbury are a hoax of a side. When things worked so well last year, to go away from that makes no sense at all to me.
No, none at all.
Not the footy show. Show!
Okay, we watched this game together. Dragons 19, Roosters 12. Thoughts, comments, criticisms?
Oof. We were that unimpressive that, oh, man. We won the game, but, and people say, "Oh, we got the 2 points," but you know what? I don't think you can actually say we won it. I think the Roosters well and truly lost this one. In the second half, they were dead set playing hot potato, and some of the times they dropped the ball, it was like they had, you know, $100 saying
on the Dragons,
"We're going to win this one." It was dead set schoolboy errors.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
cause the thing,
dummy half, hitting people on the chest. If they'd come to touch with us on Monday, they would have been made to look miserable, even though we were dropping it 50,000 times.
Yeah.
These guys were pathetic, and they're professional footballers. Can you not catch a pass? Like,
well, the Roosters, mate, were bad. Well, they weren't bad. They had a go, but they just weren't very good. Yeah, they only lost the game by 7 points.
I just felt like it was error after error, and that was really the only reason we came over the top of them, because, to tell you the truth, we didn't really look like scoring that many points otherwise.
Something I noticed, having watched the game last night when the Raiders, a couple nights ago when the Raiders played the Panthers, and I think Canberra can get it right sometimes, but one of the things I did notice big time, and it was on both sides actually, Penrith and Canberra, is that when you go to the line as a ball player, having options outside you, whether they're deep, whether they're flat, whatever, is always a good thing.
Yep.
They had that. These two teams had that when you were watching the game the other night.
Yep.
When you watched the game on the Sunday, the Dragons had the players there, but there was a bunch of times where there'd be like four Dragons players about a metre from each other.
Yeah.
In a straight line. Who was going to get the ball?
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't know who was going to get the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all well and good to have guys have options, quote-unquote options, but if the guys aren't in a position where they actually can do anything when they get the ball, which is basically what happened, every time they'd go to the edges, you'd go, who are they going to pass to? And the pass would just, it just wouldn't create an opportunity whatsoever. The Roosters had shut them down, and that'd be it. It took a nice pass from Gaznia.
They were standing still off
to break it.
No one hitting it at pace. Yeah,
And even that try that Ben Cray scored, Nate Miles, who did he have?
Oh, mate, that was some of the most pathetic tired defending you will see in a long, long time.
And it was a nice run by Cray. We're not denying that, but, sure. You know, at the end of the day, like...
But come on, it's their go-to play. If you can't read that...
Ben Hornby played fairly well. He was probably your most effective half. Great but player. Jamie Soward continues just to not do much.
No, Soward has been very unimpressive, and I'm still waiting for him to go off like a frog in a sock. I can only hope it happens in the finals.
The best thing about this game was 35,000 people at the SCG on a Sunday afternoon.
Huge!
Not the footy show. Show!
Last game of the round saw the Raiders keep their season alive with a 30 points to 26 victory at Canberra Stadium. The Panthers led this game 26 points to 12 at half time. And really looked like they were going to go on with it. Canberra had kept with them early, but then they let the Panthers get on top. And then second half, Canberra three unanswered tries. They win the game 30-26. Please explain.
Oh, wow. I wish I could. I mean, what happened? Did they change the game plan? Did they just throw the footy around and we just don't care? Or did Penrith just suck in the second half?
Penrith's attack lost a little bit of its idea in the second half, which was probably going to happen given they were without Luke Walsh.
Yes.
But Luke Lewis was still trying... as hard as ever. He's a quality player on the edge of the ruck.
Good.
Michael Gordon was a standout player in the beaten side. Even though he played for the Panthers and they got done, he was the best player on the field by an absolute country mile.
Nice.
But Canberra, I'll say this, we played all right. We used our attack quite well. It probably helped that Josh Miller, with all due respect to Josh Miller, he is the king of the fourth or fifth tackle inside ball play by Canberra in the opposition 20.
Yes.
But one of the big things about Canberra in this game was we attacked from about the 30-meter mark and stuff. We were forced to try something, and it actually worked. The Panthers probably and Raiders got away with a lot of lying in the play the ball, I have to admit, which ruined the game a little bit. But you know, Canberra at the end of the day, they got the victory. Terry Campese scored the winning try.
Campo.
Jared Croker kicked very well. He kicked 5 from 5. There was an 8-point try in this game, which ended up being 6 points because Michael Gordon missed one of the goals. But it was an absolute hoax of a call. Daniel Vito tried to kick the ball as Brad Tighe went to put the ball down for the last try of the Panthers in the first half.
Yes.
Now, it didn't look good. It was a bad kick. But you could tell he sort of, as he went down, I don't know whether he deliberately did it, deliberately pulled out to a degree or not, but he actually only kicked the guy in the shoulder.
Oh, come on.
Okay. Now, you can watch the replay. He only kicked him in the shoulder. Now, I thought it wasn't good, but it wasn't any worse than what we've seen in the last few weeks where guys sort of put the foot out. Well, it's not a kicking motion, but they basically try and put the foot in the way. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Now, the call came down from the VRF that contact had been made with the head. Thus, it would be an 8-point try.
Yes.
Seriously, have a look at the replay. Tell me where Vito's foot hits Brad Tighe's head. It doesn't. It hits his shoulder. And I'm not talking top of the shoulder near the neck. I'm talking like bicep sort of...
Side of the arm.
Side of the arm kind of thing.
Pretty poor.
So it was like, what's the rule? Because, you know, I didn't like what he did. Like, I didn't like the fact that he kicked at the ball. And it was a pretty vicious sort of aspect. He wasn't trying to hurt the bloke, but you could tell it was getting the foot there as quick as he could kind of angle.
Yeah.
But it's an 8-point try. I mean, it ended up not hurting Canberra because Michael Gordon missed the kick, but I don't understand the rule. Is it got to be the head contact? Is that the way that it is for an 8-point try? Because...
Well, I have absolutely no idea, but I know one thing. After the game, both coaches were getting pretty stuck into the referees. It just seems to be every week we're talking about referees and having shockers. Can we just have one week where everything just goes smoothly? I don't know if it's even possible anymore.
Not the footy show. Show.
Nice. Okay, we'll do the quick tips. And what I'll do is we won't spend heaps of time on them, which we haven't really been doing lately anyway.
Yeah.
But we'll get through them. And if I listen to it and think we need to flesh out anything, I'll get Dave too, okay?
Wait.
Alrighty. In the round 23 preview, not the footy show, episode 34, Nick on the line, Broncos Eels, Friday night Suncorp, Corey Norman in for Darren Lockyer, Ben Teo's playing prop for Nick Kenny, and Ben Smith's going to try and beat a judiciary charge tonight for the Eels. Who do you like?
I love the Broncos. As we all know, I've been tipping them for the old GF, you know, that thing you might have heard of. And
they'll play the Tigers, is that right?
They're still looking pretty good, but... The Hayne train, I'm not on it. I am not aboard. I have never been aboard the Hayne train. He's a fantastic player, but he cannot carry the entire team of Parramatta two seasons running, surely. Surely.
Yeah, I like how you added that at the end. That was quite good.
Oh, I know.
So what's the score? I've got the Eels, mate. I think they win by 4.
Oh, no, I reckon Brisbane are going to dust them up. It is Norman coming in, isn't it? It's not Hoffman. I get the two.
Yeah, it's not. It's Norman. Hoffman's at fullback.
I'm not racist, I swear. But they're very similar type of player, and the fluoro boots makes it hard to pick him on the field. But I reckon he's doing a great job when he comes in for Lockyer. Whether that means Peter Wallace takes all the responsibility, for me, he's never really been fantastic.
Yep.
Can do a job. I think Brisbane will just be too good, as I've said. Jared Hayne. I mean, unless the guy scores a Hattie, Parramatta, they just don't look like they can score points. So Brisbane by 12.
Not the footy show. Show!
Okay, Sharks play the Roosters in the other Friday night game. This is at Toyota Stadium. A crowd of 10,000 will be good.
Oh,
anything above that will be a dead set miracle. Tim Smith's in for Scott Porter in the only change for the Sharks, who, as we said, cannot buy a win, yet Shane Flanagan, the new coach, is making no changes whatsoever.
Mm.
I don't get it. Roosters, a couple of changes. Mitch Orbison's in for Kane Lynette out wide. Nate Miles has been moved back to the back row. Daniel Collins gone to prop. And Kennedy and Lapini Payer on the bench. I'm picking the Roosters. I think they should win. I like the addition of Orbison back in the side.
Oh, so good this year.
But as we said a lot of times with the Sharks, if they turn up and have their effort on that night and the other team doesn't, they can win. And the last time these two teams played, I think, might have been the Sharks' last victory, and they won. They scored like 40 points against the Roosters.
Bang.
I'm still taking the Roosters by 18, though.
Yes, quite. Well, if the Roosters can't smash them here, there's something wrong, you would have thought. The Sharks just appear to have nothing to play for. The only thing that helps the Sharks here is complacency. The Roosters by 12.
Not the footy show. Show!
Saturday afternoon, Titans host the Cowboys at Skilled Park. No Jonathan Thurston, who is out pretty much for the rest of the season and maybe even the international Four Nations at the end of the year with feet surgery, as I should say, because he had both feet done. Greg Bird is back for the Titans. He's on the bench back from a hamstring injury. Ben Harris and Isaac R. Mao, the only other changes on the bench for the Cowboys. Who do you like?
I like the Titans only because you really can't pick North Queensland, can you?
That's right. They're in that Sharks category at the moment.
Oh, they are. Especially without JT, that's just really hurting them. The Titans actually looked pretty good last week, I thought, in that second half too. And they are obviously potentially a top four side. So, yeah, I think you have to like the Titans in this one. I really can't see how anyone could seriously be picking North Queensland. I think the Titans get up by 10.
Well, I've got the Titans by 2, but I only say that because I'm still not 100% convinced the Titans are as good as what their scoreline showed last week against the Eels.
Mm.
Definitely had a lot of run of possessions. Had a couple of VRF calls, which I thought were a bit dodgy. There was one, the Mark Minicello try. I just can't get over that one, how that was a try. But anyway, I thought Joel Reddy might have got a hand on it. That was the second try of his. But the Cowboys, as we say, they're just not a very good football side. But I think they showed some signs against the Broncos that they're capable of matching a side for a little bit of the game. It's really a question. If the Cowboys start well, they'll be in this match. But the Titans, you just have to pick them. And the Titans have to win to keep their top four spot. So you would imagine the Titans win. As I said, I've got them by 2.
Not the footy show. Show!
The Saturday night game sees the Raiders travel to ANZ Stadium to take on the Bulldogs, a newish-looking Bulldogs side. Ben Hannett is out with an Achilles tendon injury. Ben Barber has been demoted to the bench. Daniel Rakava is a debutant in the centres. Ben Roberts is at 5'8", Michael Hodgson at prop, and Jamal Idris is back into the back row.
Ooh, for the Bulldogs. Ben Barber, back to the bench.
Mate, it wouldn't shock me if he doesn't make the side at the end of the day.
This is unbelievable. If that kid doesn't go somewhere else next year...
He's playing fullback next year, man. I've explained this to you.
But why would he stay?
I don't know. Mate, it's Kevin Moore. It's his idea that the game plan last year obviously wasn't good enough to win the comp, so he changed it, and now they're, like, fourth last.
Unbelievable. He's got so much talent.
Yeah, I know.
Ben Roberts can see it. And
Ben Roberts is a huge addition.
Nah.
He is, man. I'll still pick him. I know it sounds stupid, but I'll still pick the Bulldogs here. No, the Raiders' only change is Sean Fensom onto the bench, along with Joe Picker, and Danny Galea keeps his starting spot. Josh Miller is the one who's missing out.
No, this is an absolute coin toss for me. I really don't know. Without Ben Barber.
No, he's there. He's on the bench, but...
Oh, he'll play.
How much minutes does he get? That's the question.
Yeah, quite. Oh, that was so bad last week, which I suppose means I'll be at least slightly better this week. But, oh, wow, they really don't have anything to play for at the moment, except for the pride. Canberra, however, oof, will they sniff a chance here to absolutely punish the Bulldogs? Just play tough brand of footy.
I'd like to say that, but I just can't bring myself to do it.
You know what? I'll bring myself to you on your behalf.
Thanks,
I will
mate.
Canberra, and I'll say they win by 6.
Okay, I've got the Bulldogs by 10. I just, yeah.
Oh, take that, Canberra.
I think Ben Roberts back into the lineup. I think that may encourage Kevin Moore for the 84th week in a row to change his game plan.
Indeed.
I've been saying it the whole year, and it still hasn't happened.
Not the footy show. Show.
Warriors host the Knights Sunday at 12 PM our time, so there's 3 games on the Sunday afternoon. Knights, no real changes for them. Joel Edwards joins the bench. The Warriors got Sam Rapira back from injury last week.
Well, that helps.
They don't have, still don't have Kevin Locke or Jerome Rapardi, but they also promoted Ian Henderson to hooker ahead of Aaron Hammer-Meyer last week. It worked for them. They smashed the Sharks. Now they play a team that if they beat the Knights, they probably end the Knights' season and secure themselves all but a top 8 spot. Who do you like?
I'm liking the Knights at the moment.
Ooh.
Say, you know, it surprises me.
I've kind of
secretly liked them all year, and they just have sucked.
You picked them to finish last with me in the preseason, dude.
Yeah, but now I'm watching them play, and there's so many players that just seem to be peaking at the right time. Mullen's looking good. What day? That guy can't do anything wrong. And even the Mad Dog, how good was that little assist from Iwate? What a nice fella.
That was
what
nice.
A champion. Give him a try, the old bugger. Anyway, we'll move on. yeah, they are really looking quite good at the moment. And the Warriors, I don't know. Even when they were winning those games in a row, I was sort of asking myself, how the heck is this happening?
Mm.
So the only thing that makes me tip the Knights without confidence is the fact that they're away and the Warriors are pretty tough at home.
So you've got Knights by how many then?
It's going to be tight. I'm going to take them by 2.
Okay, I've got the Warriors by 10. I just think the style is actually quite good. They defend quite well. And that's something that I think the Knights might struggle against, is a good defensive side.
Mm. Not the footy show. Show.
The other game on Sunday afternoon is the Storm hosting the Rabbitohs. Melbourne, woeful last weekend, but they're back in front of their home crowd. Dane Nielsen is back. The Rabbitohs get a host of players back. Colin Best has been named. Bo Champion's been named. Sam Burgess has been named. Michael Crocker's been named.
Whoa.
Young Dylan Farrell, who got a hat-trick on debut, can't make the starting team, but he is on the bench. Luke Capewell is the 5'8". Souths have everything to play for here. Storm have nothing to play for, but they're at home.
Mm.
So.
Well, the fact that the Rabbitohs have lost Johnny Sutton,
yeah,
and they're getting all these guys back, it's basically a new team.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's really going to be positive or negative that all these blokes are coming back. And seriously, Storm, oh, wow. I think they do have something to play for, and that's respect at the moment, because they have, oh, wow, they're not the team that they used to be. There is absolutely no way that they would have done this poorly had the finals been there for them to play for.
Yeah, of course.
I know it's hard. If I was in that situation, wow, my motivation would be struggling as well. But seriously, guys, like, there's been games where I've tipped you to win, and it's unbelievable. The performances that have come out. Some of the players just seem to have gone missing. I'm waiting for Billy to score a hat-trick. Where is that guy was, he's just sensational when he's hot. But he just appears to be missing at the moment.
Well, the farewell tour begins.
Yeah.
4 rounds to say goodbye to this current group.
Hmm.
Greg Inglis is playing his last 3 games at home as a Melbourne Stormite. And slightly less impressive is the Brett White farewell tour.
Yeah,
quite. There'll be a celebration, I think, probably in Melbourne. I'm taking Melbourne. I think they win by 16. I know that sounds a lot, but I just think South's emotional high last weekend won't compensate for the fact that Melbourne have got a better side, and Melbourne might have a little bit more enthusiasm in their team. So I'm sticking with the Storm by 16.
Yeah, I think too many changes for South. I'm not as confident as the old 16. It's more than possible. They've definitely got the better side on paper. But I think the Storm will get home and probably comfortably, and I'm going to take it by 8.
Not the footy show. Show!
Tigers play the Panthers at Campbelltown Stadium Sunday afternoon football. Wade McKinnon named once again. Todd Payton is named as well to come back from injury.
I love that.
Chris Lawrence should play despite a concussion last week when Nathan Merritt took his head off and didn't get suspended.
Wow.
Still can't understand that one. Lachlan Coote has been named for the Panthers to return from groin injury, but he's 50-50. Luke Walsh also returning. Tim Grant, an impressive front rower, is back for the Panthers. He's a big inclusion for them. And Dane Laurie is on an extended bench.
Whoa, Dane Laurie, he's back.
He is.
Is this his first game for the year?
No, he's played about 3 games, I think, or 2 games.
Gee,
but it's been about a month since he played. Look, I said I'm a firm believer that the Tigers are going to do it this year. Well, firm believer is probably a bit of a stretch, but I still believe they'll do it. I'm going to pick them at home because they are at home. The Panthers last week were a little bit disappointing. If Luke Walsh plays, their attack may get some more direction. And Tim Grant's a nice addition up front. But that wasn't where they lost the game last week. They lost the plot a little bit, to be perfectly honest. And Canberra took advantage. I'm taking the Tigers. I think they win here, and they win by 7.
It's another 50-50 one for me. But this is a massive turning point for both of these sides, I think. Or at least a marker or an indication of how they're going to go in the finals footy.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree.
If West win this game and they win convincingly, they may convert me to the West bandwagon. But I tell you what,
mate, I'm the only person on it at the moment, so I can't call it a bandwagon quite yet.
Oh, not yet, but you're bandwagon, and it's a pretty big wagon. I haven't been able to tip you off it.
It's the Tigers' BMX, basically, mate.
Yes, pretty much. But he's doing plenty of stunts. where do I begin? I have no faith in West at the moment. Penrith. They just seem to be solidly going about their business for mine. I have to take Penrith on my current judgment. But in saying that, I will admit that there is every possibility that West Tigers could get up for this one and take them out. I'm going to take Penrith by 4.
Okay, I got Tigers by 7. Not the footy show. Yo! Monday Night Football, probably the game of the round.
Bang.
At least on paper. If the Tigers-Panthers isn't, this one certainly is. Dragons hosting the Seagulls at Win Jubilee. Luke Prittis is on the bench alongside Nathan Fein, but it looks like Fein has now pushed Prittis out of a job.
He does.
Which I think is a bit of a mistake, personally, because I think Prittis has been pretty good for you this year.
Yeah, he hasn't been bad, but Fein's pretty good.
Yeah, but he's only played 30 minutes, I think, in 2 weeks.
Oh, well.
Will Hopewade is at fullback for the Manly Seagulls. Brent Kite comes in for Josh Perry in their only other change, and Matt Cross is on the bench. Manly, very impressive against Melbourne. The Dragons, so-so against the Roosters.
Yeah.
But this is at Win Jubilee. I just am not sure that the Manly Seagulls are a team that can come up against a good defence and win, even though they did it last time these two teams played.
Certainly did.
I'm still sticking with the Dragons. I've got them by 4.
Yeah, I have to take the Dragons in this one. If I bet against them and they got up, I would just be kicking myself. I'm with you. I don't know if Manly can topple the defence. But, wow, Dragons, please. I'm saying it every week. I'm getting a little sick of saying it. Can you please show some flair? I don't even care if the points don't quite come. But it was only a couple of years ago when the Dragons just used to be known for just throwing the ball around, playing touch footy, and just caution to the wind. Where is that gone?
It's called Wayne Bennett, mate. Wayne Bennett has a certain style that he likes playing. The reason that the Broncos were never considered a boring side is because they had such talent in the back line. That they'd score those points. A guy called Darren Lockie was pretty handy, and Alan Langer was pretty handy, you know.
I heard of him.
But they definitely played a forward dominated game. Michael Wayman back for you is a big thing.
Oh, he was so good.
Really good last weekend. But yeah, you got the Dragons as well. What are you going by?
It's going to be a tight one. Great one to watch. I hope I can get on the other side of the old box this week. What are you taking by? I think I'm only going to take him by 2 because I really can't see them just putting 1,000 past Manly. They just don't seem to be showing the potential at the moment. Not the footy
show. Yo! Okay, so our tipping records after 22 rounds. Nick, you got 4 from 8 last week to move to 90.
Oh, a couple of dodgy performances in there.
Yeah, that's all right. I got 4 from 8 as well. A little bit disappointed with a couple of my tips. Particularly disappointed that I picked Canterbury. I still can't understand that. Mm. I'm 100. I've raised the bat. And the update on how I'm going on the other leagues, I'm 4 or 5 points still off first. So it didn't hurt me as much as I thought it would, finishing with only 4 for the week. But I certainly lost any chance of gaining any ground.
Yes.
But I guess the bonus was I didn't lose any ground either. What else have we got? Yeah, our Not the Footy Show League is still number 1 on the Daily Telegraph website.
Loving that.
It looks like all those challenges... All those challenges have all actually had to tip for more than 2 weeks, and then they've all moved down. But yeah, it's a solid effort from us. I think I'm pretty happy considering out of 320 tips for the year from us, we've got 190 right.
That's not bad. Not the footy
show. Yo! Special fried rice for round 23. Last week, I got it right. Who did I pick? I can't remember. Who did I pick?
Very good question.
I'm going to go with Brisbane over North Queensland. Got that right?
Yes, correct.
And you took the Tigers over South, so...
And these Tigers.
I have a two pizza lead. 15-13 for the year. It's going to be tough for you to break it, come back now.
That is extremely tough.
Because you basically have to get all 4 right.
The finals count?
Well, I don't know. I don't think so.
Oh, come on.
Because we've got to get to the actual store, to the Wild Cactus, and actually eat some first.
True, that'd be nice.
It would be nice. Is it my pick or your pick first this week? I think it's your pick, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you stole the Broncos.
I did steal the Broncos last week.
Oof, well, I'm going to have to lock in the Mad Rooters this week.
The Roosters.
Yeah, because Cronulla, seriously, if they win this one, they'll be doing very well.
Well, that's interesting, because I don't know who I'd pick.
I was thinking the same thing, but you have to pick.
Oh, Roosters. I mean, I guess I'm going to follow the same line of questioning and say that I'll pick the Titans.
Yep, that would be my next bet.
But see, the thing is, I've only got Titans by two. I'm not that confident about them. So, yeah, it's not easy because, as we say, we say this every week, everybody, apologies. But there's so many 50-50 kind of games here. The only other game that I'd probably lean towards would probably be the Storm, maybe the Warriors, but you know, I can't do much other than that. And as I said, we've split on Broncos Eels as it is, so I'll stick with the Titans. You'll have the Roosters at Special Fried Rice, where basically, people, if you don't know what it is, and we haven't explained it for like about 20 weeks, basically we have to pick one game a week where we think that team is a guaranteed victory.
Sure thing.
It has to be a different team than the other person picks, and at the end of the year, whatever the difference is, the other person gets free pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Not the Footy Show. Show!
Okay, Nick, that's your section of Not the Footy Show, episode 34, done. It's been nice to...
Time to tag some Dave action in. One Dragons fan to the next.
Indeed, he'll be with me shortly, and we will be looking at all the talking points, I guess, coming out of round 22, looking into round 23, maybe even the whole season, because, you know, we'll be talking a lot of Dragon stuff, because that's all he wants to talk about when he gets on the radio.
Maybe we should start the count this week.
We should? Okay, I'm putting it on you, Nick. You're going to be listening.
Oh,
You have to come back next week, and... The amount of times... You can give us a ballpark figure. You don't have to say exactly how many. But ballpark figure of how many you think Dave mentions the Dragons in the section later on.
Done.
Okay. Well, thanks for...
inform him. It'll be a surprise.
It will be, mate. Thanks for being with us. And commentator bingo.
Oh, I'm waiting for it. It's going to be huge.
Chuck it up, that's a bingo.
Not the Footy Show. Show!
G'day everyone, that's the first hour of Not the Footy Show for episode 34. Dave will join me in the next hour, but just before we get to there, I've got a few housekeeping things to take care of. Just a couple of retirements during the week. Steve Simpson will not play another game of rugby league for the Newcastle Knights. He has a degenerative knee condition, and he's done. So he will be farewelled in the last home game the Knights have. That's against the Dragons, I think, in round 25. Luke Cavell has also announced that he'll probably retire. He can't get a contract for next year, and although he's just come back from a radical knee surgery, it looks like he is done as an NRL player, and I believe he is moving up to Queensland. So they're two players that are moving on. There's a bit of signing news today, which is Thursday, as I'm editing the podcast. Jeremy Smith, obviously, as we said in the podcast, has gone to the Sharks. Brett White has gone to the Raiders, and obviously Gringos has gone to the Broncos, but a couple other ones. Ricky Thorby has left the Dragons to go play for the Cowboys, and there's another couple. Brad Tai has re-signed with the Panthers, and Liam Fulton has also re-signed with the Tigers. A couple other things we just wanted to sort of put forward out there. There was a lot of stuff on the NRL tweet this week. A lot of people went to the SCG for the Roosters versus Dragons. Some tweets that were put on there that I just want to read out to you now. John Dean said the atmosphere was amazing. A few of the crowd got rowdy towards the end, but he said it was a great game, and he believed that the better team won in the end. No surprise, he's a Dragons fan. Hillis said it was sunny, it was packed full of kids, people of all walks of life, symbolic of rugby league's place as the people's game. Mercurio Matty V said, absolutely awesome, a glowing endorsement for Sunday afternoon football. Hopefully the NRL takes notice. Great atmosphere, great game. And Snowy89 said that she said it was a great atmosphere and she would love to go to that kind of game once again. So it's just very interesting to point out that people love going to the games, rugby league on the Sunday afternoon, NRL. Think about it. Another talking point I wanted to just bring up before I move on to Dave in the next hour is statistics and the way that they're collated. I don't know if I related the story, but a few weeks ago, Billy Slater was given a try, obviously, for a game against the Warriors where he ran from dummy half and broke the line and scored. He actually was given no line break in that try, which, I mean, they miss a lot of things in NRL stats. They get a lot of things as well, but I was just stunned. I couldn't understand it. So I emailed NRL stats and said, look, what's going on? How does he not get a line break for this? And I emailed them about 10 a.m. in the morning. And usually the games, they're recorded once with one set of stats, and then about 2 or 3 hours later, they update the final stats. I sent that email at about 10:30, 11 o'clock, and that game was re-updated with Billy Slater's line break at about 2 o'clock that afternoon. Just interesting that something actually get changed. But then something that came up again on Monday night, Michael Jennings set up Red Tie with a beautiful draw and pass, set him on the outside, Tie ran down the wing, scored the try. Somehow Michael Jennings did not get the try assist for that. He got the line break assist, but he didn't get the try assist. And I'm ropeable, quite frankly, because this is the official stat provider, and they're getting stuff like this wrong. And yet they want us to turn around and acknowledge them as giving us the best stats going around. I don't understand how they can miss stuff like this. Surely there's a quality assurance process in place that means that all try assists, which is why I would argue that try assists are probably the second most important stat after tries. Goals maybe as well, you could argue, but seriously, people that set up tries are the ones that get the money in a lot of senses. And yet here we are with the official stat provider not even getting try assists right. How can they just honestly put it out there and expect us to take it seriously? It's ridiculous. Just one final point on NRL stats. That email that I sent to them never got acknowledged, yet they updated the stats. Very interesting. A couple of things that slipped through the cracks when I was talking with Dave and with Nick. We said the Nathan Merritt high tackle, how it didn't get suspended, is beyond us. Have a look at the Joel Reddy and Mark Minicello incident in the in-goal. It was the one where Ashley Harrison bounced the ball on his chest. Have a look at that on a replay if you get a chance. And I'm asking the question, did Joel Reddy happen to get a hand to the ball before Mark Minicello did? Just have a look at the replay and come back to me. And, of course, there was another thing that I'm really disappointed we didn't get out was Matty Bowen's effort to stop a 40-20 against the Broncos. Wow. He ended up over the seats, basically, in row F, trying to keep the ball in play from a 40-20. Then he ran back, picked the ball up, beat a guy in the in goal, got knocked to the ground without anyone touching him on the ground. The ball hit the ground, and then he came back into the field of play. And for some reason, the referee said that he'd been grounded in goal, which I don't understand, because I was pretty sure you have to have a hand laid on you when you deliberately ground the ball, or when you don't deliberately ground the ball in the in goal. But obviously, the rules change. But it was just an outstanding effort. And obviously, poor old Bo Ryan, a few days later, tried the same thing, didn't get the back to the ball in time, and Fatuli Talanoa scored. Of course, we're going to talk about it with Dave coming up, but dead set, public salary cap system. We've been calling for it for a few weeks now, even since the Deloitte investigation in the Melbourne Storm. It's not a new idea, and we're not claiming it as our idea in the sense that, we should put it out there because, you know, it's something we should think of it. The fact is, it's over there in the States, it's over in Premier League. People know what players are getting, and until we see that, the NRL dead set can't have us believing that they're doing the job right, because unfortunately, and this is the problem with the whole thing, they sign off on the fact that all these contracts are right, and yet we turn around and they're wrong. We've got to see what the players are on, and I don't think it's too much of an invasion of privacy. We don't want to know what all the players are on in terms of their appearance fees and services rendered as entrepreneurs, I guess, outside the field of play. But when their contract is lodged with the NRL, we as the public should see it. A couple other things that came up on the NRL tweet during the week. The New Jersey Nets over in the NBA are deciding they're going to change their name over there. They're putting forward to their league that they're going to change the name. They've got like a 3-year window before they actually get to change it. But I guess I was wondering, is there any teams in the NRL that you would change the name of? But the only team I could think of that may, you could use probably a name change, even though I don't think it's the worst one in the world, is the Melbourne Storm. There was a sign at the Manly Melbourne game on the weekend that said the Manly Cheaters, which I thought, I don't like it too much in the terms of it's a little bit harsh, but at the same time, I can see a good joke when it's there. It was actually pretty funny. The other one is Eastern Suburbs. That's what they should be called. They shouldn't be called the Sydney Roosters. They should be the Eastern Suburbs Roosters. And I think the Auckland Warriors need to come back because everybody's confused. Are they called the New Zealand Warriors? Are they called the Auckland Warriors? Are they called the Warriors? Well, according to their website, they are the Vodafone Warriors / the Warriors. They're not actually called New Zealand Warriors. You see it in the paper and you see it in media all the time. They're the New Zealand Warriors. Can we just get some clarification on what they are? I'm pretty sure they're just called the Warriors. And we'd like to know, do we just go back calling them the Auckland Warriors, particularly if we're ever going to have a new team come out of New Zealand, then we should see them revert back to the Auckland Warriors. Okay, in the next hour, Dave joins me for more of Not the Footy Show.
Not the Footy Show. Show.
G'day everybody, Woz back again. Alongside me is
David Stewart Chapman.
What's your social security number? Just so everybody knows.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's a Spaceballs joke if you didn't get it. Bit of bad luck that. Dave, alongside me, we're going to go through some talking points from round 22 and round 23 of the Telstra Premiership.
Yep.
The first one, I've had this discussion with Nick a little bit earlier.
Yes.
Greg Inglis, he's no longer at the Melbourne Storm.
Right.
He's now at the Brisbane Broncos. What is your immediate reaction? my immediate reaction is I don't like it. And it is a little bit selfish. I do... The whole idea, with the current situation, and the reason why Melbourne had to get rid of Inglis was because they broke the salary cap. The whole idea of the salary cap is to try and spread the talent across the teams.
Yep.
So he goes... So their answer to it is, or the outcome, is that he goes from one powerhouse to another powerhouse...
Owned by the same corporation.
That already has a marquee player. Like, Darren Lockyer is arguably the best player in the world at the moment. And Inglis would definitely be in the top five.
Yep.
And they both go to the same club because Brisbane have got a group of Brisbane businessmen that call themselves the Thoroughbreds.
And the former Origin greats, I'm sure, are involved. And
all of that bollocks. They use their power to get another top-notch guy. Now, maybe the rest of the club is going to have to, you know, by rights, they're not allowed to pay the other players as much.
Well, who says they pay the other players as much? That's the issue that's coming out of Brisbane, is they're saying, well, we can afford this. We've made sacrifices, we've let guys go, we don't pay guys that much in the first place.
Which is true. They have let a lot of guys go, but at the same time, they have signed Hannett for, I think, about $400,000.
We don't know, but I know what you're saying.
Hodges is still there, he's got to be on money. Thaiday's still there, he's got to be on money. Corey Parker, I can't imagine being on, not, you know, little.
Oh, there's no doubt they've got a roster full of talent.
Anyway,
you know what question's about to come your way, though,
yes,
don't you?
Yes, I do.
Do you want to just snip it in the bud straight away?
Well, everyone says the same thing about the Dragons with Gaznia, that maybe he shouldn't have been allowed to come to the Dragons. I mean, we were on top of the ladder, and then we were allowed to sign, you know, one of the best players in the world.
Well, the best free agent going around.
The best free agent. Now, my argument with that is that I don't actually consider him to be as high as what everyone else thinks. Everyone else is sort of still considering him one of the best players, but he did go and play in a second-tier union comp in France.
Yep.
So he's not going to come back and be worth $600,000. He is worth about $350,000, which is what he's getting paid if you average it out over the three-year contract. I can see the point that it's very similar to what I just said about Inglis going to the Broncos, you know, that it's sort of like, that it means the salary cap's not working because really he shouldn't have been allowed to go there. But I think it's very different. There's a difference between Greg Inglis joining a club that already has Lockyer, Thaiday, Ben Hannett and the rest of it, towards Gaznia going to join a club with who are our best players, Cooper and Wayman are our two Origin reps, and that's it. And they're not going to be on anything near $600,000. So...
But how do you know that, though?
Well, that's a good point. And this is what we keep saying. Maybe, really, the ultimate answer to all of this is to make their salaries public.
Like,
give it a, you know...
As we've said it before, we've discussed it here in this very room. It's all right, I'm talking loudly. But basically, unless we see what all the players are on, there's no way, there's no point system, there's no nothing else that says to us we can trust the NRL is monitoring this properly.
Yeah, that's right.
Because
even if we make their salaries completely transparent, there's nothing to stop a Melbourne doing what they did and have two sets of books.
But
it's far more effective than what we've got at the moment.
Because the onus is back on the players not to cheat the cap.
And that's the key as well. If the onus is on the players, then they're going to go to their club and say, "You show me, beyond doubt, that I am not going to be getting kicked in the butt in a few years' time when they find out that I'm over the salary cap." And you know. And then if they do get found out, it makes each individual player responsible.
They've only got a 10-year career, so it's not like they can afford to spend 2 years out of the game.
And then you can compare it to drugs, what do you call it? Steroids. Hmm. You know, if you get caught using steroids, that player gets kicked out of the comp for a year.
How long?
I mean, whatever it is. I think that's the road that we need to head down, because at the moment it's just too easy for clubs.
It's not a radical idea. It happens in a lot of other, or basically every other pro sport does that.
Yeah, that's right. And it works without a problem.
It works without a problem because, again, to be able to circumvent the cap, they have to be extremely dodgy, which they really can't afford to do because the player's reputation's at stake.
That's right. And I suppose the reason why we didn't go around that or down that avenue to begin with is because in other professional sports around the world, you do tend to see the same clubs dominating still.
The biggest one that I would say is probably counter to that is American football.
They've got
unbelievable parity over there.
Yeah.
You'll see a lot of the playoff teams, a big percentage of the playoff teams miss out the next year.
Yeah.
Teams are able to rebuild, reload.
But that's also because they're running the draft system.
Again, yeah, no, that's another thing.
But I don't know if I really don't know if I want to.
We can explore that in another podcast. But
yeah,
one of the really interesting things I read today in the Herald, they were reporting on the whole Inglis deal, and you can get a really good insight into the, what Inglis is being paid or apparently being paid in the Herald from today's edition or online. But I read something that I found rather humorous, and I say this allegedly just to protect myself. But somebody wrote, and it's been cleared by the NRL salary cap team. And they said, this deal's fine. It's all good.
Yeah, right. But
the same group
that
said that every deal that Melbourne had made in the last 4 years was fine. It's all good. We've got to be...
Ian Schubert and his merry men.
Who? I didn't say his name. I could have been talking
allegedly,
to anyone.
Allegedly.
But that's the thing. How can the NRL expect us to just go, oh, it's fine now. We're all good. We've all moved on. When we had the Bulldogs 6 years or 7 years ago, 8 years ago, it happened again.
And
we can't trust that they're doing the right. That they can manage it.
Yeah,
I'm not doubting they're trying their best, but we can't trust that they are.
And the point is, 99% of the public would look at what Brisbane are. What they already have, and then they get Inglis again for 600,000 allegedly.
And it forms an unfair opinion on their roster. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with
you. Yeah, but is it unfair?
Well, we don't know. We don't know.
But when you've got 99% of people saying, no, those guys are definitely over the cap, like, but they can't prove it, the situation's just not good.
So how does the NRL, if they want us to actually believe them in these situations?
Yeah, that's right.
Talk to the Rugby League Players Association. And it's not like the players are going to get any less money.
That's right. And it's not like we're going to know their income because they've got third-party deals.
They've got these things where they can get money for things, services rendered outside the club. We don't want to know about that. That's irrelevant. Because that's them making a living outside of the game.
We just need to know that all the clubs are playing by the rules.
And at the moment, we don't.
And yeah, that's exactly right.
Not the footy show. Show!
Last couple of questions before we move on. You're obviously happy that the Big Four in Melbourne's been split.
Yes, I am.
The question I asked Nick earlier on was, is 3 of 4 still in Melbourne ideal? At what point do you say Melbourne are fair dinkum able to contend for the title?
Well, you're not going to know that until next year.
Not so much can they win the comp. I'm asking you I know you were pretty anti them when it all happened, and I understand that.
Yeah.
Like, at what point do you forgive them and say that if next year they turn around with 3 of their 4 best players still on the roster and win the comp, are you going to still say that they've been cheating and that was an unfair advantage?
I think at the moment they have got rid of a lot of their medium-tier guys. And I sort of, with this Inglis gone, and then I saw a list somewhere along the line of all the other guys that have gone, I'm sort of happy with, okay, they've been stripped down to, I think, 1.7 million.
Yeah,
or whatever it is, allegedly, again, we don't know. I honestly can't see them doing that well next year.
No, I still reckon they've got a very nice. Their spine's still in place.
Well, they've got those major three, and there's a whole heap of other guys that do pretty good. But and the thing is, Craig Bellamy can coach a side, and he's going to get those young fellas, you know, playing pretty well pretty quick.
Yep.
I
guess ultimately, this time next year, Melbourne are in first spot. They're heading into the finals, minor premiership under their belt. How does everybody react? Do we get, oh, congratulations, you've rebuilt your club, or do we get, oh, they've still got 3 of their 4 best players in their roster, it's unfair, blah, wah. Like, I can see a lot of the latter happening.
I can see,
I don't agree with it, because, as you know, I reckon they should have been able to keep Greg Inglis and get rid of everybody else, basically, and keep those 4 top players. I would have been fine with that, because they developed those players. But I understand that the way that the media works.
They also broke the rules in a majorly big way.
Everybody else, if you have a look at the list of all the salary cap breaches over the last 10 years, a lot of clubs have broken the rules in a big way.
And
you can check out NRL.com if you search for it.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. And I keep coming back to Canterbury.
Yeah.
They didn't split the team up, and 2 years later they won the comp, and I felt ripped off.
Yeah, so that's the thing. I guess, personally, I think, you know, it's disappointing this whole situation eventuated in the first place, but... You know, I think the most disappointing thing that we're missing this is what I was really sad about as well. It's a real big loss for the Storm. Brett White.
He's going to Canberra, mate.
We needed a forward. That's what we needed. Needed another front
rower. He's not such a bad player.
Oh, please. No more from you,
Dave
Chapman.
Oh, come on.
Not the footy show. Show.
Okay, Dave, I'm going to ask you the same sort of question. So apologies, everybody, if you feel like we're going over old ground again, like I did with Nick. Who knows, I might have cut half his stuff anyway. Dragons.
Well, my opinion's better than
yours. Oh, absolutely. It's in the flesh, so it counts even more.
I haven't even met him yet. I've got to shake his hand one of these days.
Yeah. Remember, he sat in Gaznia's stool.
Yeah.
That
means I've got to kiss his bum.
Yeah, you do. Actually, you said that you do that. We're going to have a look at the top eight and what we think a top eight's going to be. As you would have already heard, I've gone through it with Nick, giving you who I think is going to be the top eight. Now, Dave, you've had a look at this article that I wrote
on
NickSupplySpot.com.
It's very hard to argue with. I think you've done really quite a good job. The only one thing that I would point out is he
doesn't like the Tigers.
No, it's not that I don't like them. It's just that I don't think that they're as good as what you think they are, and I don't think they're going to win all four of their last matches. If you look at who they're playing, they've actually got about three of those sides are decent enough sides. They're playing the Panthers.
I'd say all four are good.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Well, let's list them. They've got the Panthers this week, then they've got Parramatta at Parramatta Stadium, then they've got Storm at Leichhardt, and I'm assuming Storm aren't going to be kicking at that end of the season.
I think that second last game of the season, they won't care.
But then they've got the Titans at Skilled Park.
Yeah.
I mean, the Eels are hard to beat at home. The Titans are hard to beat at home. The Panthers, it's almost like they're home because it's at Campbelltown, and, you know, there's going to be a fair few people from Penrith coming down because it's not that far.
They are the West Tigers, not just the Balmain Tigers. You realise that?
No, yeah, this is what I'm saying. That's Campbelltown. Yeah, this is why they're playing at Campbelltown.
Okay. I thought you were saying Penrith were playing out of Campbelltown.
No.
Right. My bad.
Penrith isn't that far away from Campbelltown.
True.
So, you know, although the Tigers do love to play at Campbelltown.
Yeah.
But I just can't see them winning all four of those games. Okay. And if that doesn't happen, and Penrith win about three of their games, I've got
Penrith winning three or four.
But then they end up on the same points. But Penrith's differential is better, better than the Tigers. So I'm just going to swap, because you've got Tigers finishing in third and Panthers finishing in fourth, and I'm going to swap those two around, yeah.
Well, if the Tigers don't win three or four, if they only win two or four, and they lose that game to the Titans, I mean, they will end up finishing fifth.
Fifth.
That would be the change. The Titans would move into the top four.
Ah, right, yes.
As I sort of said before, everybody, I'll recap it again. My top eight at the end of round 26, having predicted the next 4 weeks, is Dragons, Roosters, Tigers, Panthers, Titans, Seagulls, Broncos, and Warriors. Then we've got teams outside the eight. And this is basically the question that I asked in the article. And Dave, you can have an answer here. There's only really three teams that I think are in any danger of missing out in the eight who are in it at the moment.
Yeah.
Manly,
Broncos,
and Warriors.
Yeah, that's true.
Then
and
there's
Manly, I don't think, deserve to be in sixth. I don't know. How many games have you got them winning, and who are they playing?
Manly.
The thing about Manly is they're a hot and cold team at the moment. Yeah. They could blitz it for the rest of the season, but they could also fall apart.
Well, they've got Dragons at Win Jubilee.
So they're going to lose that.
That's shocker. by the way, in case you didn't know, Nick is counting how many times you say Dragons.
Oh, really?
He's going to do it after the podcast has been released, but you know, so you gotta
is,
be,
is it going to be part of the bingo?
I'm letting you know that you're on deck here.
Let me just say Raggins, Daggins. I don't know. Keep going. What were you going to say?
Steel Gons. What are they?
Those two.
Warriors at Brookvale is the next game, so I've got them beating the Warriors at Brookvale. Roosters at SFS. This is a tough game.
And they won't win that. The Roosters,
yeah, Roosters
will win that.
Okay, and then the last game they play the Bulldogs at Brookvale. You'd expect them to win that.
Which
so I've
they
given
should
them,
win.
Two out of four.
Two out of four, yeah.
Which would take them to 30 points.
Okay, all right. Well, that's fair enough.
Basically, the variable is the Broncos, who are in next spot. I actually think the Eels will beat them this weekend if Lockyer doesn't play. If Lockyer plays, and this is something that Nick and I talked about, but basically I think Lockyer might push himself to play this game because he realises if they beat Parramatta this weekend, Parramatta are gone.
But if he plays this weekend, is he doing himself damage
for
the rest of the season?
Broncos play Eels at Suncorp, then they have to play Knights at Newcastle. And I think Knights at Newcastle, especially if Lockyer is there, they're dangerous there. And I actually give the Knights that game.
Yeah.
Then the Broncos play Warriors in
Mount Smart,
which is losable as well. Yeah,
absolutely it is.
And it could get to the last round
Warriors
for the Broncos.
They might have to win that.
They might have to win that last game against Canberra at Suncorp to make the finals.
Which they will.
They should.
They should, yeah.
Yeah, you should expect them to.
The Warriors will beat Brisbane at home.
You reckon? Okay.
Second last round, and the Warriors are fighting for a top eight spot as well, and they're pretty much side by side.
If Warriors lose
this
week, they play the Knights. If they lose this week, they could be in a bit of trouble, because it's one of those sort of turn games where there's a team outside the eight playing a team in the bottom half of the eight.
Yeah.
And if the team in the eight loses, it just puts pressure on them to stick on. And then they've got Manly and Brookvale. As I said, we reckon Manly's going to win that. And it comes to round 26, they might have to play Parramatta to stay in the top eight. And if Parramatta have a bit of a run, you know, it's such a variable here. So
it's such a variable, isn't it?
This weekend,
quite exciting. I'm excited about this one. This is a great run to the finals.
This weekend, if the Warriors can beat the Knights, they pretty much save themselves, I reckon, because that puts them in a situation where the differential probably counts a big factor for them. They're only minus two at this stage. and the other team's sort of putting the pressure on a raw minus 40 or 70 or something like that.
Yeah, see, there's so much different, so many different things can happen. If they, if one team jumps out to a bit more of a lead and the other team see that they can't, you know, make it, that plays on how well they play the next week.
Exactly.
And the Rabbitohs, is Burgess coming back for them?
Well, they're back. He's back this weekend, and so there's a few other sort of biggish names. They lost John Sutton to an injury.
That's big.
That's massive.
And they just haven't been able to put it all together, really. They haven't been
They've got the worst draw of anybody in the last four rounds. They've got to play Melbourne in Melbourne.
Which we have
said before, Melbourne and Melbourne, you can actually pick them and be fairly confident. Penrith at CUA. Then they've got Eels at ANZ. And then they've got the Dragons at Wynn.
Oh.
Jubilee. Like, it's conceivable they don't win a game.
That's what I was just about to say. That.
So, despite having a great differential, the way the differential
and
works...
And they're already out of the eight.
They've got to win two or four at least to put themselves within a hope of the top eight.
Yeah.
I just don't know. They might beat the Panthers.
I'm a rugby league lover, so I like to see the Rabbitohs do well. As much as I disliked them a few years back, I want to see the Rabbitohs do really, really well one year and just see if all those other supporters do come out of the woodwork and see if we can get a few more people into league. I just want
Ben Lowe and John Sutton out. I'm writing them off.
I know
it was an amazing win the other night.
It's just sad, was it? It's sad.
Is. Knights.
But like I said before, this is such a great run to the finals. I don't think we're in that much danger of losing some support here.
Exactly. Knights, I don't think there are any chance, really. They'd have to win all four games for mine. But I do give them a chance at winning two of their four, but I just don't think they'll win three or four.
No.
It's too hard. They've got Warriors, Broncos, Dragons,
I didn't realise that
Storm.
Either.
And they play Storm in the last round.
But it's down at Storm.
And all those Storm players who aren't going to be around next year.
They'll want to go out with a bang.
Exactly. And then Canberra, they're...
Which is why they're going to lose round 25, because they're looking forward to the next round.
who are they playing that game? Anybody?
Dragons!
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
In which one? What are you talking
round
about?
Round 25, they've got the Dragons. Knights.
No, the Knights do, but I'm saying Melbourne.
Oh, okay.
Melbourne
right.
in round 25
will
lose
sorry.
To whoever they're playing.
Raiders, they've got two very winnable games, two tough games in their run home. They've got to win all four. I don't see it happening. They've got to beat the Bulldogs, they've got to beat the Dragons, they've got to beat the Cowboys, they've got to beat the Broncos.
Broncos in Suncorp.
Unless they keep that streak round. Against the Dragons going,
yeah,
and they win these two games. But I think they'll lose this weekend and be done. And the Eels are the team that I think have the biggest chance of making it.
Really?
Now, I know everybody's gone
because,
off the old
yeah.
pain train, which I don't understand, because he's actually still playing all right. His team just
and
didn't
done
any
before,
field position.
And it's very possible.
They've got Broncos at Suncorp, maybe minus Lockyer. That's winnable.
That is winnable, yeah. If Lockie's not playing, that's definitely winnable.
The West Tigers at Parramatta, who I actually think the Tigers win this, but it is a game, again, that Eels could snaffle.
Yeah.
Put someone at 26 points with two to play. Then they've got the Rabbitohs, again, totally winnable.
I hope that both teams are still in contention at that stage.
Well, if we get to Warriors versus Parramatta
South
in round 26,
Sydney versus Eels, yeah.
That game could decide who's in the eight. Because if the Warriors slip up this weekend, they may have to win this last game against Parramatta to make it, which would leave us with... As far as I see it, Warriors and Eels are going to finish on 28 points each, but the differential is going to get the Warriors across the line.
Yeah, yeah.
Melbourne Storm will finish with 14 wins and 10 losses, I think, at the end of the year.
Okay, yeah.
Which would have put them into fifth spot.
Okay, I was going to say
on differential.
Sixth. Okay, fifth, yeah.
Which would have been, I guess, I mean, they've played some pretty ordinary football at different times, but at the end of the day, they've still had a better record than the majority of the team.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Sharks would take up the unofficial wooden spoon.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys left on 5 wins after 24 rounds.
Gosh.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just as well the Bulldogs won a few games as well, because halfway through the season there, they'd only won about 3 games the whole year, and they were looking dismal. And really, when they came second last year, and then to have their whole game plan switched around anyway, we're going off on different tangents.
That's all right.
I like analysing footy, what was. You know
that's all right. That's all good. Not the footy show. That would leave us with a finals week one of Dragons Warriors.
Yeah.
This would be the Sunday afternoon game. And Nick and I have had a discussion.
At least there'd be no one saying, take it to SFS.
Well, that's the thing. Well, okay, this is what we talked about earlier.
Really?
The Telegraph reckon they're looking at a double header at the SCG and SFS, which logistically is impossible, as far as I'm concerned.
All they've got to do is set them at different times.
Well, okay, do you want 6:30, you want it 8:30? How do you get the people out of the car park who have gone to the 6:30 game and get the people who are coming to the 8:30 game into the car park? Because it's the same car park.
Can you not do them a bit different to that? Do like one as an afternoon game and one as a nighttime game?
TV rights, young man. Never going to happen.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah,
if you're going to have a double header, you have it both at the SFS for mine, because I love the SFS for finals football. I think it's the place where every game should be played personally, but that's just me. Roosters, Warriors, that'd probably be played at... Do you reckon they'll play it at Wynn Jubilee because Wynn Stadium's being developed, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely.
And I'd prefer Wynn Jubilee anyway. Roosters, Broncos, that'd be the SFS.
Yep.
That'd be the early... That'd be the late Saturday game. Tigers, Seagulls. Now, I reckon they should be, and I think they are, they're trying to think about playing this at Leichhardt. Even though they've got a deal, I think, with SFS. I don't know if it's four finals games as well, but they've played a bunch of games at SFS.
What about Homebush?
Well, I don't think they would. If I'm Tigers and I get to play Manly in the first week of the semi-finals, we go to Leichhardt.
Yeah, okay.
Who cares if it only holds 20,000 people? The Dragons did it last year. They said,
yeah,
no thanks NRL, and the Tigers shouldn't be forced.
But ANZ is one of the Tigers' official home games, isn't it? Home ground.
No, they play out of the SFS now.
Ah. Oh, yeah, okay. All right.
And then the last game, we've got Panthers hosting the Titans. Sorry. This would be the Friday night game. Yeah, I must admit, of all the games, it's the least attractive.
Yeah.
And it's not really me having a crack at the Panthers or the Titans. It's me having a crack at the Panthers and the Titans.
They're both good teams playing quite well. And
Panthers deserve a home final. I don't think we should see the way the Panthers have played this year, it'd be a shame to see them drop out of the top four.
It's a pity. Do you know half the reason, and this is going to maybe take us down another avenue, but there are some Sydney-based teams that have a lot of flair or a lot of popularity. I mean, the Dragons and the Roosters and the Tigers are really quite popular teams.
And the Eels are if they're winning.
And the Eels are if they're winning, and the Dogs are. Mm. The Panthers, they don't have that same
stigma. Not yet. They had it about them when they won the comp 6 years ago, whatever it was.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It comes and goes.
Yeah. They definitely play a bit more of a bash and barge style and rely on, obviously, we say the kick. But, look, that's what we think the finals would be. Do you think there might be a bit of a shuffle? We might end up with the Panthers in third, Tigers in fifth, possibly.
Yeah.
So that means that Titans would get a home final. It really wouldn't be a massive change. I mean, one team that would differ on the home finals. But, yeah, that's how it looks, everybody. If you want to see the article, it goes through every game that your team's playing, apart from the ones that are out of contention, obviously. That's at wdnicholson.blogspot.com.
Another footy show. Show!
Okay, moving on to talking points. We're going to kick off talking points, Dave, with a look at the NRL Tweet Player of the Year. The big question I'm posing to you is Todd Carney. Can he take out the Player of the Year crown in his return to rugby league?
How's he doing at the moment? Is he?
Well, you're a bit fortunate here. You can actually look at the ladder here, but you can't tell everybody what he's actually on.
Okay, well, I must admit, I am a bit surprised that he's up the top. At the moment, I didn't think he was playing that well in the first half of the season. I know he's come home really strong in the last 8 weeks or so, but I wouldn't have picked him as being up the top. I would have thought someone more consistent, like a Farah or a Marshall, would be up there.
Well, as you'll sort of find, the way that the system works is it's about rewarding games where you win matches.
Yes,
that's the system.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, as much as I'd like to say that a player has been great every single week, at the end of the day, you make the finals with a good year, but you win the big games with a big performance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the system is you get 4 points. There's two people voting on a game. If they consider you the best player on the field, you get 4 points. Second gets 2 points, one, and third place gets 1 point. So if you're a man of the match, you can pick up to 8 points in one game.
Okay.
Now, I will take a player having a better year. If he's got man of the match in like six of 20 games, he still won six of those games for his team, pretty much. And if you're trying to put a value on a player's ability, for mine, it's linked to wins. Why do we play the game?
Yeah, we play to win, but you can't say that anyone... we're going to have an argument about this again. Nathan Hindmarsh is the one that wins games for Parramatta, not Jared Hayne. He's the finisher.
The one that ploughs
the way through. The one that does all the hard
yards. Keeps you in games, but Hayne wins them for you.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
No, he doesn't. He does the finishing. It just looks like he wins because he does the finishing of the hard work that everyone else has done.
Hmm.
Okay.
So is that why you don't like Todd Carney? Is that why we should have...
No, higher? Todd Carney's a very skillful player.
Obviously, Jared Hayne's still amongst it. Farrah and Marshall as well. Now, of the guys sort of a little bit lower down, they need a couple of man of the matches, but who have sort of, in that bracket, as I'm pointing to the screen, do you think might actually make a run? Cooper Cronk by any chance, or the Storm just not going to care enough towards the end of the year?
Nah, he won't make a run.
Jamie Lyon,
he'll make a run.
A couple of runs he's been man of the match for sure. Two of the last 3 weeks.
Lachlan Coote could make a run.
Injured, of course.
Who else?
He's been good. James Maloney.
Yeah.
But he hasn't had much love the last couple of weeks, but he's been fantastic for the Warriors.
Yeah, but by your system, he needs to be a game winner. So exactly. There's a fella down there by the name of B. Morris.
Where is he? He's way down the bottom.
He's pretty down.
You have to be fair, though. He hasn't done much the last little while.
Well, he hasn't had the chance to do much.
Since he hurt himself in Origin 3.
The ball out to him on the run.
Who? Who doesn't get the ball to him?
My team.
The Dragons. as you can see, Highmarsh is down there, and he's had a solid season. I mean, at the end of the day, we're looking for the player who's had the biggest impact on his team's ability. That's okay. What an MVP really is.
Yeah.
And in our competition, we've now got one team is 14-6. There's a couple more teams on 12-8, 12 wins, 8 losses. And then there's a whole bunch of teams who are around that 50%
mm-hmm.
win-loss
mm-hmm.
margin. And as I say, if you can get a guy who's made an impact on your team's ability
to win
win 9 games a year, and he's helped you win 6, it's a pretty big indication that he's had a decent season.
I'll go back to my initial point there, though.
What's that?
I still reckon it's the guys that do the hard yards.
Yeah, but how do you quantify that, though? How do you put a value if you have to rate every single player? I've done that before over the year, okay? The guy who won it, you're not going to like, was Andrew Johns. And he won it by a landslide because every week he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
The Knights finished in the top 4 and they won like 18 games.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
So what's the difference between a guy like a Hayne or a Carney who have 10 awesome games out of 20 and they end up, their team's at the top of the ladder? I mean, the Hayne may not be at the end of the time, but what I'm saying is they've had an impact on the team winning the game.
So is the forwards. See, so is Michael Wayman. So is.
But Wayman hasn't
so
been playing. He's been suspended for the last 10,000 weeks.
No, so he doesn't get any points for those games.
Yeah, exactly.
But last week, when he came back and started the whole team moving forward.
He got a first place vote. He did get a first place vote.
Okay,
he got 4 for that.
All right.
All right. They get recognised, Dave. You have to have faith in the people who are voting in this system.
Okay.
Who watch their and to explain it to everybody, the simple way we did it was you got someone who followed their team every week would watch their team play. Okay.
Yeah.
They would vote from their side of things, and the person who follows the other team would vote from their side of things.
Yes.
It was expressly said at the start of the year, please don't be one-eyed to the point where you're just going to toot someone's horn. Okay. And basically, everyone's been pretty good in that through the entire course of the year. It's been sometimes, I think, where people have almost been too generous to the opposition at different stages for the of the 2 and the 1s. But what has been really, really clear in the way that everyone's voted is that generally the best players get recognised. And I found that is something that I must admit has been really, really encouraging in the format that's been done. That's why I sort of... One of the big reasons I set it up was I'm not a big fan of the way the Dally M over the past has been done.
Yeah.
Generally, it's either been journalists or it's been people... with a lack of a way of putting it, may have had agendas for certain players and whatever. It gives them exclusives or, you know, there's always that aspect to it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
This year's been a lot better, I think, because they've got ex-players doing it.
Well, it's not the most valued player anyway, because the Daly Ends...
It's the most popular, like the most visible guy.
Well, it's also if you get suspended or anything, you're eligible and stuff like that.
They lose points, but Isaac Luke may not get it because of that.
Yeah.
But I guess the thing that has bugged me over the years is you've seen players get the Daly M when... I mean, I've watched a lot of football, particularly in the last decade, and sometimes the players get it and you just go, are you serious? Like, how is he the best performer in the... Like, I don't know. It just frustrated me. So,
yes, I know
this is a system that's been done. I mean, ideally, this kind of system being adopted by journalists that actually respect would be a good thing. Because I think that's the main problem that I had with the Dally M after a while. But I just think, no matter who you've got doing it, if you've got someone who, even if either it's 2 objective people, but I always think 2 is probably the best way of doing it, 2 people voting on it.
Yeah.
Because it is conceivable that, you know, someone may slip through the cracks if it's just one player, one person doing
absolutely.
It.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's the hope that we've looked to try and achieve.
It's actually quite a good system. I like it.
But yeah, Will Todd Carney, in his first year back from rugby, from exile, playing for Afford and Roosters.
Yes, he will.
He will.
Looking at that, and considering how well he's playing at the moment, and considering I can't see him sliding down from that, you know, from that level for the rest of the year.
Yep.
He's going to continue to get
make
points.
We've got the Roosters winning all 4 games, so you'd imagine he's going to pole.
Are we allowed to say list them?
No, we can't list them. We just say that anyone's in contention. See, I'm surprised that a guy like Terry Campese is as high as he is, but that's been a proven case of if they've played well. And I must admit, I voted on the Canberra games.
Yeah.
But I haven't been all that enamoured with him this year. It's generally been the person on the other position.
I'll say this, of the other players that are around the top, he's the standout for mine.
Yeah, Kirk Gidley as well. I think wins a lot of...
I've never rated
yeah,
him.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think he's a little bit too much love for him, but he's up there as well.
Yeah.
And if the Knights make a run, you just never know. So, yeah, you can check out the leaderboard, what it was after round 20 on the website. And what's that website, Dave?
WDNicholson.com.
.blogspot.com, but you'll find it anyway. Just search WD Nicholson. Now, I'll spell it out for you, because yeah, Dave has said this to me before. He goes, how do they understand what you're saying? Well, it's because it's linked everywhere, but listen very carefully. You got a pen and paper? Run off, get some, give them some pen and paper music, Dave.
Oh, music?
Yeah, music. Okay, what do you want then?
I don't know. Okay. Well, East Coast girls are hip. I really
okay, deep. Hopefully you've got some paper by now.
They wear.
W D N I C O L S O N dot blogspot. If you can't spell blogspot, I'm sorry, it's just an issue you've got. Dot com. Okay, look it up, but you can just search in the yeah. Google. W. Nicholson, and you'll find it. It's
W. D. Nicholson. It's not W. D. Nicholson.
It's W. Nicholson.
W. D. Nicholson.
W. Nicholson.
Crikey.
Yeah, he doesn't like how I say my name.
You're not from Penrith.
Oh,
dude. How is that? We're just going to insult people left.
Doggies! Another footy show. Okay, Dave, the next topic for discussion is refereeing.
Yeah.
Don't we love talking about this? Brought it up before, Robbie Farah. Did you hear what he said about Jared Maxwell?
No, I didn't hear what he said, but I've been told about the incident, and I must say, I can understand why the ref wouldn't blow it at that time, but at the same time, if the guys are offside, you've got to call it.
It's one of the worst calls I've seen this year.
And he had the whistle in his mouth and then didn't blow it.
And then told Robbie Farah he didn't see it.
And then told Robbie Farah, that's right. So it's blatant as can
last
be.
Last 5 seconds of the game and you're not watching the ball.
You know.
You're the senior referee on the field. Jared Maxwell, please. But yeah, I did like his comment, and I've made the comment before, but he said he didn't have the kahunas.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Which is the name of Ricky Ponting's cricket bat, just out of interest.
Get out of town.
Yeah, the kahuna. The big kahuna.
The big kahuna, okay.
Indeed. Not the footy show. Go! All right, a couple other things that came up from referees in the weekend. Back chat. A bit of players getting penalised, particularly in Monday Night Football. A couple of players got penalised for back chat in possession.
Yeah.
Playing the ball, and they're complaining
How is that anything new? That happens.
No, but it doesn't happen enough as far as I'm concerned. Well, Paul Gallen would get penalised every single time he played the ball if they were fair dinkum about it. Because he gets up and goes,
yeah, it's got to be a balancing act again. You don't want to make it to the point where you're not allowed to say anything at all, because you're entitled to an opinion, and you've got to. You know,
if you're the captain.
As long as you don't be a real.
It seems a bit precious for mine that they call that kind of stuff up and yet let scrums go the way they're going. They let we've talked about this before, but
yeah,
you know, let line dropouts go the way they're going, kickoffs the way they're going. It's just and play the balls as well. Walking off the mark is just ridiculous. Sam Perrott is the best walker off the mark in the entire world. There was a documentary that the Footy Show did. I had on the website last week, and it had Brian Smith in the coach's box while they were playing the Roosters back in Anzac Day game.
Yeah.
Anyway, it had a vision on the field of Sam Perrott playing the ball, and you could hear Brian Smith say, "Oh, good gain of extra meters." Like, yeah, he
really?
Basically said that because of what he does when he plays the ball. He basically walks through the guy who's his marker,
yeah,
and gets that extra 3 or 4 meters. I mean, that's why his meter counts are so high all the time, because by the time he's played the ball, he's got an extra 15 meters. It's an issue.
It is an issue, and it shouldn't be allowed to do it. And the referee should.
We need more referees. I think that's the you know, we've got 18 of them already, and we still can't get it right.
I've got to point out here, I reckon that part of the reason why a lot of those things go
unpenalised,
is because the NRL wants it to be a free-flowing game because it's better to watch. If you blow the whistle too many times, like what happens in Union, people get upset about it and they say it's boring to watch.
Yep.
And it's a fair call. But at the same time, you can't let a fella get 3 or 4 extra metres every time he plays the ball. That is ridiculous.
Something I've noticed in the last, I don't know, could be months, it could be weeks, I'm not sure, but the two referees are now going back to the 10 metres.
Right.
You know, so we used to always have a guy around the play the ball. There used to be always a referee who would be at the play the ball, and the other one would go to the metres. Well, now they're both going back to
both
the metres.
Both of them are going...
Or the guy, the pocket referee, staying back with it. You notice that it happens in different times of the game. basically it's to help enforce the 10 metres, etc.
Is there a reason?
Well, I guess it's to enforce the 10 metres, I guess.
But they don't need two guys to do that. They only need the one.
Well, two sets of eyes. One eye, if you're the referee and you're blindsided to the whole eight guys behind you or whatever. But the reason that
But then they must think that there's not very much value in staying around the play ball.
That's because that leads me back to the talk about walking off the mark. Surely, if you've got two referees in the field,
One of them can stay
where the guy gets tackled.
Yeah.
And if he plays the ball 5 metres away from where the referee is standing, you get penalised. It's
full stop.
I know it sounds rather simple and rather effective, but, you know, how about we adopt that? I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, on situations where a guy makes a break.
And because don't forget, we do have sideline refs as well. That can call
offside. I didn't notice them, I've got to admit.
There's no point having two refs going back to try and check the offside when we've got sideline refs that can do the same thing.
I reckon they're not putting the batteries in the microphones and the sideline touchies things. But the only situations where you'd say, oh, that can't work is when the guy makes a break and only one referee stays with the ball or whatever. I can understand that, but that's a different kettle of fish because a guy will get up and play the ball really quickly if he's just made a break.
There's never going to be a foolproof system, but surely there's one that's way better than the
I reckon that'd improve it remarkably.
Out of sight, that's right, yeah.
And how hard is it to implement, Errol?
Yeah, that's right. Not very hard.
Last thing to bring up is kickers getting taken out in the air. Ben Smith just been suspended for 2 matches for his hit on Scott Prince, which I must admit didn't look great. The soft ones are the ones that kill us.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it. A lot of the times teams get a penalty for that, called late, and it's like half a second after he kicked it. That's not a late tackle.
If they're in the air, hard enough, I'm all for calling the penalty. If a kicker is in the air,
they jump in the air every time they kick the ball. That's part and parcel of being a halfback or the fellow who's kicking the ball. You got to cop that on the chin, unless it's blatantly late and blatantly over the top, then you don't call it.
Okay, that's all right. No, I just wanted your opinion on that. And the last one is, if I said to you which referee has sent the most people to the sin bin this year, could you name him?
Not a chance.
There's a list of referees down there if you want to have a squiz.
I can tell you it's not
Shane Hay and it's not Tony Archer, the two best refs in the game.
Well, I was looking at Tony Archer, but Jared Maxwell?
No.
I wouldn't have a clue. I wouldn't have a clue.
Ben Cummings has sent 7 blokes to the sin bin in 2010. That is actually quite impressive because it's 5 more than the guys who've got 2 each in Ashley Klein and Gavin Badger.
Is he the one that sent off 3 guys?
Yeah, it sort of inflates his stats a little bit on Friday night. But yeah,
it was a little bit.
Still, that was he had a four.
Do you know what? I mean, some part of me says that we need a bit more of that because
it was good to see Third Man Friday get done though. Wasn't
yes, that
it?
Right. Oh. That was good. And the thing is, if you do police these things all the time and police them strict enough, then the players will learn to play in a way that they're not going to, you know. They're not going to break the rules if they know that they can't get away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a balancing act. It's a bit of a...
No send-offs this year. Are you surprised by that?
Yes, I am surprised by that. You would have thought there'd be...
At least one by now.
Yeah. I mean, we're coming to the end of the season. I would have thought there'd be more than one.
Not the footy show.
Okay, we're going to shift focus a little bit for this last talking point, and that is crowds in Sydney.
Yeah.
The A-League started on the weekend. Did you know that?
I figured it out on I think it was Friday night when I was watching Sports Tonight, and they gave us an A-League score.
Yeah, and from the night before when the season actually kicked off.
Is that what it was? Yeah. And I sort of thought to myself, oh, is that starting?
We've got an extra team as well. Can you name the extra team in the A-League this year?
Oh, it's the second Melbourne team.
Yeah, what are they called?
Oh, not a clue.
Melbourne Heart.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
There's your focus group, A-League.
Melbourne Heart.
You follow sport, mate. You follow sport. You obviously follow league above all things.
Do you know, that's worse than the Gold Coast Suns. what kind of a name is that?
I'm still hoping we get the West Sydney Wombats, I got to say. I really want the Wombats for the AFL extra team.
Because they're known for being able to jump high and be athletic.
How much would you love... I've said this before. I would change my allegiances from the Swans to the Wombats if they became the Wombats.
Sure, she would not.
That's a great name.
The Swans is
Canberra Wombats. That's what I want. But yeah, the question is, the A-League started. You didn't know about it, pretty much. Apparently, they spend their marketing budget after the NRL and AFL seasons end.
Hang on, what do you mean? Say
well,
that again.
They wait till their season's 2 months old before they spend their marketing budget.
Why? What's the point?
Because they don't want to compete with the NRL and AFL for TV time, the people who are going to the games.
Jeez.
That's their theory, that they're going to spend their money more wisely. I can't understand that.
I can't understand it's... That was going to be, before you said that, my point was going to be, I haven't seen it advertised anywhere. Is it because I don't have Foxtel?
Well, I brought this up. I might have brought this up last week on the show, but I'll just bring it up for you now. But email newsletter from the A-League. I subscribed about 2 years ago to try and keep up to date with what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Fairly sporadic. They are during the season, but I got an email for the grand final in March this year. It's for last season. My next email from the A-League came 2 hours before kickoff on Thursday night.
Yeah, that's unprofessional.
That's just atrocious.
That is.
And I guess the flow on from that is, Sydney won the comp last year. We played Melbourne in the grand final. We got to play them in a grand final rematch to open the season at the Sydney Football Stadium.
That would have been massive if people had known about it.
Well, the crowd was in the low teens. And they were very disappointed because it's the reigning champs. We'd signed a whole bunch of new players. It's Melbourne. There's always a bit of rivalry.
There's always Sydney and Melbourne.
Pretty much no one turned up.
The year. That's...
And a couple of the writers from the Herald want to know why is the crowd so low. And they did a couple of articles.
Don't spend any money on marketing.
Well, I actually think I think the problem's a lot deeper than that.
Have you ever heard of a little known drink called Coca-Cola?
What's that?
Well,
yeah.
You know how well they advertise? You know about Maccas and how well they advertise? Yeah, and how... Yeah. Damn big.
I mean, they are multinational.
Advertising is like the be all and end all.
It is.
How do you not?
Well, I'm going to put this to you now.
I think I'm a better businessman than the people that are running the A-League.
Oh, it's not hard, mate. They didn't even have a tipping comp this year on their website. Their official website didn't even have a tipping comp.
Jeez.
I mean, mind you, soccer's a shocking thing to tip because you've got draw as well, but you know.
But doesn't matter.
You've got to have something.
People love to do it, and you can do it through Foxtel.
But here's the deal. Here's the deal. This is what I want to ask you. And this is a discussion I had on the weekend with a guy about the AFL, new AFL side.
Yeah.
I think that at the end of the day, they could spend millions of dollars on marketing. They could have a tipping comp. They could have emails every 24 hours for all they want.
Yeah.
Sydney's cultural attitude towards attendance at sporting events, I think, is not woeful, but it's not amazing.
It's not Melbourne.
It's not great.
Yeah.
What every sporting club in Sydney has to realise is that you are never going to get a massive crowd every single week or every single game you play.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. That's the way that we're, I guess, bred. That's the way that we've been brought up.
Sydney's a much better town than Melbourne. And we've got plenty of other things to do.
Yeah, no, don't use that one. I hope we wouldn't get down that road. But I understand what you're saying.
I'm just having a dig.
Okay, I know you are. But I'm asking the question simply from, now, when you think about how, if I asked you, how are you going to improve A-League's presence in Sydney? What would you do? What would the first thing you'd try and... I mean, apart from marketing on TV, what kind of intrinsic way would you try and improve the support of your team?
Well, that's like asking how you're going to get a rugby league team to win a premiership. You do all the things that need to be done. All of them.
But what happens if the crowds... And this is why I ask you. What's the most popular sport in Sydney?
Rugby league.
What's the crowds generally to rugby league in Sydney?
You mean the average crowd?
Average crowd.
15?
10 to 15,000?
Yeah.
So, the most popular sport in Sydney...
Yeah, that's right.
...can only get 15,000 people on average to a game.
There is a bit of a difference, though, because there's 8 Sydney teams in rugby league.
But on any one given night, there's only...
Yeah, people are only going to support their one team.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is the most popular sport in Sydney, no team can average huge figures. The Swans, who play every 1 to 3 weeks or whatever it is, so every second week.
Yeah.
May average, I don't know if their average this year is in the low 20s, but at their peak, they might have been getting into the 30s.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they're every second week team, okay? The A-League, I think the average crowd last year was 8 or 9,000 or whatever it is.
Yeah, but what's it like in Brisbane? I mean, I know that they've only got the one team in Brisbane for AFL and league and soccer.
Yep.
But it's not like they're rugby league mad. I mean, a sport mad. It's
And neither is Brisbane's rugby
is
league supports awesome.
And neither is Adelaide. It's only Melbourne that go.
No, I think you're wrong. Personally, I think they get great crowds for AFL in Western Australia. They get great crowds for AFL
because they've
got
one team.
They've got two teams in both those places.
Oh wow, whoop-de-doo! Two teams for millions of people.
What I'm trying to tell you is, we're looking at Sydney in the cultural way that it supports the codes.
Yeah.
If the best and most supported competition can only get 10 to 15,000 to their games.
Yeah.
Is it even realistic for the A-League to think that they're going to get huge crowds in the future. Because the biggest aspect that you have...
I hear what you're saying, but...
Well, what's the best way to get new supporters? Getting to play the game?
Yeah,
but... Soccer has the highest number of people playing the sport.
How's their crowds?
Yeah, that same argument is what I think the AFL are looking at trying to do in Sydney with their new West Sydney team. They're going to say, if we can get all these people playing our sport, they're going to come and watch us. When you look at what's happened with the A-League, they've got the most populated... Yeah, yeah. The game that's played by the most people, and they can't get a crowd. It's just Sydney.
I'll say something here. My little fella plays soccer.
Yeah.
Even though me and Rach are both rugby league mad. I want him to play rugby league.
Yep.
But at the same time, Rach doesn't, and he's not exactly a tough nut, and righty. All the other kids at school play soccer, so in the end, he plays soccer. But the father that coaches is pretty much the only father that's into soccer. Yeah. All the others stand around talking about league. and I feel bad.
Yeah.
Because we're, you know, it's sort of like the coach comes wearing his like Manchester United sort of jersey or whatever.
Yeah.
And I sometimes think to myself, oh, Dragons had a good win last night. I want it. There's Dragons in.
Nick, keeping count.
Yeah. You know, and I want to wear my jersey, but I think, oh, I won't wear it because I don't want to be disrespectful or anything. So I sit there, I stand there and say nothing. And then the other guys come up to me and start talking to me, but oh, good win last night, wasn't it? So we all stand there. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Our kids are playing soccer.
Yeah. But you're talking rugby league.
But the parents are talking rugby league. Unless the parents are way into the game that their kid's playing, you're never going to want to fork out that $4,000 so that they can go to Brazil and train and whatever.
Yeah.
I think
that underscores the point. It's going to be the ultimate aspect of what we're talking about. Sydney is the most populated centre.
Yeah.
In sporting, like in population, obviously, and... we can't get a big crowd a regular big crowd to any of our events. And we had 35,000 to the SCG for Dragons Roosters, but it took us until round 22 to get that kind of...
I'll tell you another thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The World Cup this year was a bit of a fizzle.
Well, you got to remember what time it was on.
Yeah, exactly.
You got games in the middle of the night.
But all of those factors, like it wasn't the same build-up as what it has been in the past.
But what it's all linked to is population. We can say... We can look at how it's done in the US, we can look at how it's done in England, we can look at how anywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
But the fact remains, Australia does not have the population to support the way other sports are covered and supported overseas. We just don't have it. We've got a population of 22 million at the moment or whatever it is.
Mm.
I know it's going to not necessarily sound what all these marketers are going to love, but we just don't have the market. And... the money isn't there.
So are you saying that? It's a waste of time to market?
It's not a waste of time, your expectations have got to be realistic.
Yeah,
I mean you can say that we're going to really push A-League come in 2 months' time. That's fine, but realistically,
everyone will be supporting cricket.
Well, maybe, but but the fact is, you are just going to struggle to ever get a situation where you are the dominant code when the dominant code averages between 10,000 and 15,000 in Sydney. And I know you're saying there's 8 teams, and I completely understand that, but...
Well, for that point, how many, on any given weekend, how many games are played in Sydney?
It's anywhere between 2 and 6, maybe.
So call it 4 times 15, and you've got 60,000.
Well, you wonder how many are regular attenders to the different places in Sydney. I mean, there are people that do that, will go to
not many.
2 or 3 games in a weekend. There are quite a few. People live for rugby league, mate.
Yeah, problem I know. Is
a lot of them have know, Foxtel, and they can watch every single game
at home. Yeah,
and that's we've probably done a bit of a loop to loop on this whole topic, but we're basically putting out there that from our perspective, and we live in Sydney, it's a tough market to crack in the sense that you've got to be realistic in what your goals are, and even in saying that, I think the A-League have fallen way behind in what they need to, and I will say this: I don't think the NRL is perfect by any stretch of the imagination. No. But A-League, I guess, have a bit more perspective when you're looking at what we've got in terms of a crowd for the most popular sport. It's just never going to be amazing.
Not the footy show.
There was one thing that I wanted to talk about, and I don't know how relevant this is, but it struck me as interesting. I sit next to a guy at work who's a big doggy supporter. He goes to the doggies games every year. He's been a member for about 8 years or whatever.
Mm.
And he lives about 10 minutes drive away from Homebush. Now, a few years ago, he got offered what they call a gold membership,
yep.
Which is where you actually, for like a couple of grand, you buy those that particular seat in the stadium, and then you don't have to pay any entry
for any game
ever again. That's yep. your seat for the rest of, for as long as you hold on to that.
Yep.
And he said to himself then, "Oh, I should do it," and he didn't end up doing it. And it was him and his mate, and he was looking at the website again today, and they're selling from the website at $2,900. Today.
Per year, is it?
No, for the seats.
Okay.
That's it. Then you pay an annual... and then he said, oh, but you've got to pay a few hundred dollars every year
for the upkeep.
Right? And then he said, we started reading the fine print, and it was $685 each year.
Okay.
And so we said, oh, yeah, well, geez, that's a bit different, isn't it? Mm. Yeah, right. I went back to work. 5 minutes later, he says, hey, Dave, look at this. He's gone onto eBay.
Yeah.
There's a couple of tickets for sale on eBay for $1,500.
Ah, okay.
Now, you'd still have to pay the $685, and you go, geez, that's... You know.
But you're saving a grand and a half or whatever it is, yeah.
But then he did the sums. He said, I would definitely go to the Bledisloe if they played it. I would definitely go to the AFL matches that they're going to play. Well, the Swannies are going to have a game there each year.
Oh, they play
the
couple,
2020s
yeah.
played there.
Yeah, moving them
the
there.
The Origins are there. He goes to every Doggies game anyway.
Souths play there.
He's got mates who go to that. Tigers...
It's Eels. Eels have a
Eels, okay. Match, yeah. And there was another big one as well that I can't rattle off the top of my head. Anyway, plus the stadium, plus gigs like when U2 played there.
Yep.
I don't know if you get them for free, but you do get heavily subsidized. And he said just by doing those basic things, that's $1,400 worth each year.
Okay.
That I would get by paying the $685. And I can have this seat every year. Plus, it's gym membership, and there's a pool in there or something.
Parking.
All of that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And you're allowed to bring three extra friends. They have to pay for their tickets, but it's not going to be just you if you buy that one ticket. And I thought to myself, that's a bargain and a half. Mm. And if I was him, I wouldn't hesitate. The only reason why he's hesitating is because he just come back from a 2 month trip to Europe.
Okay.
So he's going to sort of leave it for now and maybe give it another try at the beginning of next year or whatever. But I just thought to myself, it's such a good deal. How come they don't do more deals like that all over the shop? It's going to be different for me because I'm like I've got a membership to the Gong.
Yep.
And obviously there's not going to be a whole heap of things outside of the Dragons games that happen at Wynn Stadium that I'm going to go to. But I don't know. There was a movie where the guy, he's a Red Sox fan, and...
it's probably got Ben Affleck in it. I wouldn't have seen it.
No, I think it's called Must Love Dogs. It's got Drew Barrymore in it.
Okay.
Anyway.
Is it Ben Affleck and Drew Barrymore?
No, it's not.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Anyway, and you know, like, he gets those seats because it was handed down to him from his dad, and I don't know, that's the type of atmosphere that I want.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you're saying.
But like you said before, just before, we don't have that atmosphere in Sydney where it's that diehard, we're never going to pack out the stadiums. We need the stadiums to get packed out in order for it to be such a high demand for the tickets. Righty-righty-rah. I don't know. I just thought if there were more places where you could go to the gym and the in-ground pool and attached to the league's club, it'd be worth getting yourself a membership.
Well, what about this? We've talked about there's so many teams in Sydney. We've talked about that, you know, the crowds are different, like change and all that kind of stuff. Why wouldn't the NRL think that it might be slightly smart to have like a deal where you pay $500 a year or $1,000 a year, whatever you do, and that guarantees you a seat to any game of rugby league in Australia, in the entire competition every single week?
Yeah.
Do you reckon that could work as a marketing tool? You could get into every game.
Like I say, I don't know if there's too... There are some people out there that are rugby league mad and would definitely go for it.
But you've made the point that if you get to see all these other you can see... I mean, I'm not saying that you're necessarily going to go to three games a weekend. I'm not saying how much the money that the ticket would be, but I would have thought that wouldn't have been a bad idea as a marketing ploy to say you can buy a ticket that gets you into every single NRL game
during a season. And they could work out the price of what it's worth.
And you'd have to obviously discount it from what you'd actually spend. I understand that.
So you're saying if I take a weekend up to Brisbane, I could get into the Brisbane game?
Yeah, and you wouldn't have to pay anything. You've got a ticket that covers...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's no limit.
You've got to book your seat.
There's no limit. You've got to organise, but that's already paid for if you've got this card.
That's a fantastic
limit. I can't see that being a downside. Like, I mean, and you'd be part of probably a pretty exclusive club.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that it'd have like access to players and different things like that.
Yeah.
These are the kind of marketing things that you're getting for free NRL if you listen to this.
And I always think to myself, you know, I've never been to Parramatta Penrith Stadium. I've never been to Canberra Stadium. Yeah. I've never been to Leichhardt or Campbelltown.
We're not saying you get it for free. That's not what we're saying. But if you've already paid for it at the start of the year, you're more likely to set that week up.
Far more likely.
Yet, I come up with that idea. I give it to the NRL. There you go. Just a bit of recognition. It'd be great if you ever come up with it. But then I found out today that the NRL has decided that, or it could have been West Tigers, I'm not sure, that all junior membership passes that get you into a game for free, if you play junior rugby league, are not going to be accepted at Campbelltown on Sunday afternoon.
Why?
Because they're expecting a big crowd and they want people to pay out their butts to have to go to the game.
I think that's always been the case.
To every game?
Yeah.
Well, then why do you have the pass?
To get in for free when it's not...
Yeah, okay, so that's my issue. I understand why they do it, because they want to get more people paying.
But it's always been one of the conditions. I got that card...
So just that game?
...when I was in the under-10s and under-11s.
So what games could you get into, is what I'm saying?
Any NRL game... with the condition that they weren't sold out already.
They're not sold out. It's a case of they're letting everybody know on a Wednesday that you can't actually go.
Turn up expecting to get in with that card because if
I understand it from a financial point of view, but I think it's a little bit disappointing that if you're a kid, that the only game you've been waiting to go to is to see the Tigers versus Panthers.
You can still go, but your parents have got to pay for you to get in.
I think it's a bit harsh. I understand why they're doing it.
No, I don't. I reckon it's a bloody damn good deal that just because I went and joined the Hills Hawks for under-10s and under-11s, I get to go to every game for free.
I think it's great. They should be able to go, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, but don't whinge about the one time that you can't go, even because you get to go into every other game for free. You get to go to all of them as long as it's not a chockers game.
I think it's a little bit
That's an awesome deal. That is an awesome deal.
I'm talking about these little kids and stuff. Yeah,
I know. That is an awesome
game. I just think it's a little bit harsh on them if this is the only game of the year that you wanted to go to.
Yeah, but...
And you got to remember, some people... Because like, parents have to pay to get in.
That's going to happen from time to time, but how often is it going to happen compared to... I understand. There's the one, you know...
I understand completely why they're doing it.
Yeah.
I just know if I was a little kid and I had my heart set on going to see this game, and then I turn to mum and dad and say, I want to go to this game, and they say, we've got to pay for you and bring $100 to go to the game.
I know.
It's disappointing. It's deflating.
Yeah, but business is business, and you got to... I know, but look at the other side of the equation. Do you know what I mean?
Well, there was a game earlier this year at Campbelltown. I think it was against the Roosters, and all the Hills area were full. But the whole...
Yeah, that's
the whole
right.
bank of seats were, $35 or $40 a pop pretty much no one on it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know, I just...
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's just disappointing that they get very precious about different things like that.
Not the footy show.
But anyway, NRL, if you listen to this podcast, we've just given you the best idea ever. Set up a super pass that basically they can be still members of the club they want to be members of. But it's included. Like, set up an elite club. Like, what's the downside to it?
There's no downside to it. And the more things that they set up, the more options that are available, the better. The reason why I became a member of the Dragons this year was because I could get a general admission membership. Before that, you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Now I've got the option, and they've made more memberships. The more options, the better.
It makes sense.
Not the footy show. Yo!
Okay, Dave, we've probably rehashed 99% of what Nick and I talked about earlier.
Yeah.
But everybody, if you got to this part of the podcast, congratulations.
Well done.
Staying power you have. I'm pretty much done. Well, in that case, we'll wrap up the footy show up very, very quickly. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter, NRL Tweet.
Can I just say, I'm not done. I just
He's
had another
done.
Thought.
He's
I'm
got more
very,
about the Dragons.
I'm very, very excited about the rest of this season. Maybe it is.
He's got a big smile on his face.
Maybe
He's
it is because the Dragons are on top and they're doing well. That is part of it.
What's the count, Nick?
I can't deny that. But it's... I'm very excited about this.
Mind you, a week and a half ago, you were like, oh, the Dragons. Oh,
I wasn't that bad.
Oh,
at all.
No, we're going to choke. We're going to die.
In fact, last week you had me on the phone and I was saying, don't worry, we're all right.
Yeah, then you sent me an email the next morning saying, I'm not picking the Dragons anymore, I'm on the Roosters. That's not the footy show.
Technically the Roosters should have beaten us. They didn't.
Technically the scoreline said 19-12.
Okay, forget it. We're going to say goodbye.
All right. Episode 34 done. The video will be up soon on YouTube, but you can check out the podcast, which you're listening to right now. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out on it, because it can go up at a random time. And if you've got iTunes, it'll automatically download it, people. You don't have to go out of your way to actually do it.
I'm going to have to do that. I've not done that yet.
Thanks. You do listen to the show every week, though, don't you,
via
the website?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
well done.
Absolutely. Because it's the best show going around.
Absolutely. but yeah, everybody, check out wnicholson.blogspot.com. How do you spell that, Dave?
You spell it W.D. Nicholson.
And there's no H in Nicholson. But see, that's why I'd say it quickly, man. Anyway, everybody, you've churned off by now. I apologise. Nick and Dave on the podcast today. I'm Woz.
I'm Dave.
And we enjoyed your company.
Thank you very much.
No, bingo. Warren Smith, very, very disappointing.